don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What service is it that you are a captain in? What makes you the captain, Robbie Knievel?
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
Habitual now that it almost seems like just habit.
I tell you what, man, ain't no dang old lady about her, man. They're getting old liquored up, man. I'm coming on strong, up, paw me like a dang old animal, man. I'll tell them no means no.
You're an idiot.
Are you with me? Yay or nay?
Which one means yes?
Yay.
Yay! Oh, and if you guys aren't too busy, could you please just go to hell?
Today we're interviewing WOHN announcer Gene Baxter, who in a surprise press conference Friday afternoon announced his plans to leave the radio station.
And now.
Well, what did the management have to say when you told them you wanted to leave?
Stay for just a while.
Anything else?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Monday morning. Welcome to an all-new week. It's the 16th of March. Kapow, pow!
I'm dangerously dry.
I'm not sure how that fits, but
okay.
I don't
know. All right.
Mr. Ralph Garman, how are you today?
I am just so excited as I get every St. Patrick's Eve.
That's true, yes. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day.
I'm taking a lot of... what's that stuff you take, Mike, for your liver? What's good for your liver?
Milk thistle.
Milk thistle. That's what I'm taking. Milk thistle. Take a lot of milk thistle trying to get my liver in shape for tomorrow.
What is milk thistle?
It's a root.
It's a root,
extract,
I believe.
Yeah.
And you take it. It's supposed to help keep your liver healthy.
Hmm. How's that working out for you?
Can
good.
You
I've
just...
taken about 8 bottles this morning so far. My liver is doing push-ups inside my body. We are ready for the marathon of drinking that is tomorrow.
Can you rehab your liver in one day?
Yes.
Seems like you destroy it all year.
You are wrong.
Tough to bring back.
It's incorrect. You can absolutely do it in one day.
Okay. All right. Didn't realize that.
Oh, I just got all better. we're having Paul Rudd and Jason Segel in tomorrow.
That's correct, yes.
So we're going to have some beers, and I'm going to bring in some Irish whiskey, and I'm going to get them drunk. And make them kiss.
Ooh,
that's my goal.
A worthy
is to make
goal.
Them kiss.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
The movie is called I Love You, Man.
That's what I'm talking about.
They might as well, you know.
Sure.
We're just listening to the replay of Doto. That guy is magic. He really is spectacular.
It dawned on me as I was listening in the other room. He is like our Forrest Gump in the sense that there's no way he should be able to make his way through the world, and yet he seems to.
He does quite well
quite
sometimes.
Well.
But we heard a woman in the background, and he said, that's my dad.
Right.
And then Mike said, oh, no, that was a woman. And then he just, like he didn't have to think about it. It was a sister of mine.
Yeah.
Oh, but let's move on and talk about something else. I don't know how he does that.
Because like, he is.
Wouldn't you feel self-conscious about the fact that you were just lying really in a poor way?
No, because he's a spy. And that's how his mind works. He's able to come up with a story at a moment's notice.
He's a CIA spook.
He's that's the what international he does. Man of mystery.
What? That's what they call spies.
I know.
Okay.
I know. It just sounds funny coming out of your mouth.
He's the international man of mystery. I know. He's going to Taipei or someplace for a wedding. He travels around the world. But by the way, the one thing we didn't mention about the new girlfriend is that supposedly she's a doctor.
I know.
Yeah.
She's like a Chinese doctor or something, right?
What's the difference?
She gives you some herbs and sticks you with a needle. Isn't that how they work? They're not like real doctors.
He sent me an email over the weekend. He was very concerned that she's older than him considerably and makes a lot more money than him. He wanted to know if that's okay. And I was like, yeah, it's fine.
It's the best.
Doto's got a Chinese cougar?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good band name.
Chinese cougar, yeah.
And by the way.
Imagine what their bass drum would look like. Like a cougar wearing a Saipan.
By the way, if you're asking for love advice for Mike.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's a little rough.
I was CC'd on it. It was the Bean.
That's the guy you want to talk to about love.
Even better. All right. Let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. And you can call right now, and we'll put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
And for today, just getting on the air, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A. Right now, stop by a Subway restaurant and pick up an $18 off general admission coupon
to
Universal Studios Hollywood.
I was just up there this weekend, up there at City Walk.
Were you?
Yeah.
How was it?
Good.
It's crowded?
It's always fun. It's always crowded.
Yeah.
And it's always fun up there. Went to see Taken, finally. Got around to seeing the Liam Neeson movie Taken.
How was that?
Movies up there. It's great.
It is.
Really,
really good.
Wow.
And And the girl who plays his daughter, I was watching her. I said, wow, that looks like a really young Maggie Grace from Lost. She looks just like Maggie. She's obviously too young to be Maggie Grace, but she's like a 17-year-old Maggie Grace. It's Maggie Grace in that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how she pulled it off, but she like has gone back in time. She's gotten younger.
She didn't. I was thinking that originally, too. I thought, well, I thought this was supposed to be Maggie Grace, but it does look like she's...
It looks like her younger sister.
7, 8 years ago,
her
yeah.
Her younger brunette sister. I don't know how she does it.
Well, she was very dirty in Lost.
Some sort of shapeshifter.
Maybe when you clean her up.
Yeah, but she seems like younger. So sexy and sort of older in Lost. Like, yeah. Just a little bit.
And she seemed really innocent, young, almost naive. You know, she was really, I thought, really good in that movie.
Yeah, especially when she's sold into slavery. I like that part a lot. Yeah.
Let's go to the phones here. Let's say good morning to Jason in Victorville. Good morning, Jason.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
So I need you guys to settle a dispute for me I've been having with my buddy.
Okay.
He said that he slept at the MILF this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
So I proceeded to ask him how old she was, and he said 20 years old. And I beg to differ.
No.
I think we got to set some boundaries on what the MILF means.
I think you're right, Jace. Just because a broad has a baby doesn't automatically make her a MILF.
She was a mom, though, right?
Yeah.
She does have a kid, I think, like 9 months old.
Okay.
But... 20 years old, I mean, come on, we got to have some rules, like maybe the kid's 5 or the chick's 30 or she's old enough to be your mom, I don't know.
Yeah, the term MILF was not built for 20-year-old girls. That's
right.
That's not the intent of the law. So you're absolutely right. MILFs are like when you see, like, you know, ladies taking their kids to school or whatever in minivans, whatever, and she's sort of older, but she's still hot looking. That's what a MILF is.
So, I'm right.
I think you're right. I think we're
with you, Jason. I think you are going to have to be a MILF for a little while before. I mean, a mom for a little while before you can be a MILF.
Yeah, I agree. Got to
be a certain age.
Tell your friend he's just got himself in a lot of trouble. That's all. He's dating a single mom.
Thank you for the call. All right. Let's go to Joey in Pasadena. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning. What it do, nephew and baby boo?
What it do, Joey?
What it do?
I think we need to stop the Snuggies. I'm head of the Hoodie Who crew, and I need to form an alliance with the Poncho Patrol.
What crew?
The Hoodie Who.
The Hoodie crew.
Oh. Wow, the Hoodie Who crew.
Hoodie Who?
I mean, we have a lot of members. We're strong. Actually, Lisa's a member.
What?
Yes.
It's a secret.
How many members do you have, Joey?
Just look around. You see someone with a hoodie on? Remember.
I am actually wearing a hoodie today.
As am I.
So is Kevin.
You are scaring me, man. Wow.
Does that mean that we're actually
members?
Does that mean that we're actually a member of the group then?
You can be.
But not necessarily.
We fulfill the requirements.
You still have to get jumped in, I think.
Yeah. Do you have to pass some kind of test or, like Ralph said, get beaten up? What's the deal? Kill somebody because they had their headlights off? What?
You just got to be down to stop the Snuggies.
I'm down. I'm down with that.
I'm sorry. I'm pro Snuggie. You know
I'm torn, yeah.
I cannot back this play.
I have 2 Snuggies at home.
Lisa May, we're calling you. We need you to be true right now.
Yeah,
but
Joey,
I got the Snuggies.
I don't think you have a friend in her.
I got Snuggies and Huggies.
But we need Mike and the Poncho Patrol. They may only be 2 members, but they're fierce.
That is correct. They are fierce.
I can't speak for the entire Poncho Patrol. I have to take this up with DJ Omar Khan. But you guys, if you want to join an alliance with us, you got to get jumped into our gang. And you don't want to know what Omar does to you to get jumped into the Poncho Patrol.
It couldn't be worse than what happens to you when you're in the Hoodie Crew, so I'm down.
Okay.
All right. I'm getting a little tired now of the Hoodie Crew Poncho Patrol conversation.
Me, I like Joey. All right, Joey, I'd like to maybe try out for your group. It sounds a little extreme for me.
It's not a boy band, Kevin. You're not going to try out for them. It's not an audition.
How do you know, Snuggy Man?
Because Snuggies forever.
Let's go to Chris in San Pedro. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Did you guys see the Clipper game last night?
Why would I watch a Clippers game?
Why? Oh, man, they pulled it off.
They pulled it off.
103-105 Clippers. I was at the game.
Have they broken 10 wins yet? Are they in double digits yet?
Oh, does that matter?
Yes.
They won a game.
It does.
They won a game, you guys.
How can you be this excited they won a game?
Because they're the Clippers.
Bro, I was at the game. It was awesome. It was unbelievable.
Who did they play?
They played the New Jersey Nets.
And you went to see
anything.
You went to see somebody. You went to that game because somebody on the Nets you like.
Oh, no, my son got free tickets, man.
All right.
I had to go.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Free tickets.
Clippers are giving away tickets now.
That's the only way they can fill the stadium.
Exactly.
It works.
All right. Clipper Nation.
Thank you for the call.
Go Clips.
Let's go to Mike in Marina Del Rey. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, check it out. Friday night, I'm watching the, what's the show Jimmy Fallon does now?
Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC?
Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. He's copying the Snuggie thing. That's BS. What do you think?
Hold on. What do you mean he's copying the Snuggie thing?
Well, we're watching it. Then all of a sudden, he tells his audience to reach under their seat. We're going to do audience participation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, every single audience member pulls out a Snuggie.
Sweet.
They all put it on.
They all had Snuggies.
They all put it on. And next thing you know, he tells them reach under. They get a warhead and put it in their mouth. I was like, what? Yeah, so it was just letting you guys know.
Wow,
you know,
we're going to have to add him to the list of people that we're going to.
All right.
Poncho Patrol's got a list.
Snuggies are taking over the world. That's what I'm saying. That's crazy.
He's on the list. Thank you, Mike. Do we have time for Sam the Armenian Comedian?
Always.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, good morning, brothers.
It's not like you to call this early.
Yeah, I was trying to get this champion fighter on your show because Jimmy Kimmel already did the interview at my shop. Uh-huh. And it was so good. So I want to bring this Manny Pacquiao guy that he's so good. And also he's going to fight this next month coming with Ricky Hatton.
Yes, he is.
Okay. You.
I am surprised at how much right information you have, Sam.
Right. That was all accurate. You must not have smoked out yet.
What?
You heard me. You didn't smoke out yet.
Oh, no, not yet.
Yeah, I can tell. All right. So you can bring Pacquiao in if you want.
Yeah, I want to bring Manny Pacquiao with me and my wife one Monday morning come on down with Lightning and Psycho Mike. We can interview him in my shop. It's better.
Does Manny Pacquiao just hang out at your haircutting shop?
Every day. Also, Mario Lopez. Could you believe that?
No.
Can you believe that? So you're going to bring Manny Pacquiao in?
Yes, I will bring in or come on down.
Well, I know the other option is come down there, but I'd rather you brought him in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hard for him to go.
I know, then don't say.
Because he's training every day because he can't skip any second from away from his schedule of training. You
then
know?
How does he have time to hang out in your hair shop all day?
Oh, he's in and out because upstairs is the boxing club.
Oh, same building.
You work in the ground floor of his gym.
No, we are. No. Yeah.
Yes. No. Yes. No. Yeah.
Okay, so you can't bring him in, but you're offering for us to go down there.
Yes, please.
Oh, all right. We will work on that. Thank you, Sam. He's very confusing, that Sam. But you're right.
Think?
That may have been more correct information than he's ever had before in his life.
That Pacquiao Hatton fight, by the way, is going to be
that
awesome.
That is going to be an amazing fight. It's hard for me to imagine that Sam has any control over
Manny
Pacquiao.
If Sam's booking your press tour, you're in trouble if you're Manny Pacquiao.
On the Kevin and Bean Show today, we have Fergal Murray.
Ah, Fergal Murray.
He, of course, is the brewmaster for Guinness.
Of
course,
everyone knows that.
Still trying to get their signatures for an official St. Patrick's Day holiday.
They're trying to make it a national holiday as well. It should be. And I think the 18th of March should also be a national holiday.
Yes, that's more important.
Because, really, who is less productive than America after a big drink on?
True.
That's correct.
Good point.
We have some highlights today from a documentary that Ralph turned me on to that may be the best documentary I've ever watched in my life.
Wow.
It's called I Married the Eiffel Tower. And it's people who fall in love with objects. Literally in love with, like, bridges or...
The Berlin Wall.
Yeah, the Berlin Wall. That woman changed her name to Mrs. Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We have highlights of The Celebrity Apprentice, which is
great show. Last
a crazy yes. good show. I didn't see last night. I just caught up on last week.
Dennis Rodman is the greatest guy on the planet.
Oh, man. He's
really
dumb.
Is.
He's nice, but dumb.
Yeah.
We're going to announce the K-Rock World Tour Destination number 6. We're going to find out why Ralph's wearing panties full-time now.
Oh, boy.
Gonna not full-time.
Going to talk to Harvey Levin from
only
TMZ.com.
When I'm in makeup.
And we're also going to have Josh Fries in the studio.
Oh, yeah. He's
going to tell us about his big eBay auction to, I don't know, do mushrooms and drive around Hollywood in someone's Lamborghini.
You get to kill somebody if you pay enough money. You snuff somebody together. You make a snuff movie or something.
I'm not sure what the deal is, but he's offering a lot of things, and we'll ask him about that as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Looking down at all I see.
106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Nope.
Hey!
I don't think so.
You made my heart stop.
It'd be better if I had a microphone.
Yeah, sorry. I'll turn on. You want to try it again?
Sure.
Okay. 106.7.
Hey!
All right, good. Excellent. Much better.
Yeah.
Details on destination number 6 for K-Rock's World Tour coming up at 7:15 this morning. Right now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What do you got, Ralph?
As always, well, not always, but every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And let's do that now, shall we? Race to Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
A lot of people race to the theater to see this. $25 million in its debut. Not a huge opening weekend, but still strong. Watchmen came in at number 2 with $18 million. That's a significant drop-off from its previous box office. The Last House on the Left in its debut made a little over $14 million, making it number 3. Then Taken, the movie I caught up with finally this weekend, came in at number 4. Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail was number 5. Slumdog Millionaire Paul Blart Mall Cop, He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, and Miss March, in its debut, made $2.4 million, making it number 10 this weekend.
They should be really happy with $2.8 million.
Yeah, really. That looked horrible. Congratulations to Charlie Sheen. He and his wife, Brooke Mueller, have twin boys. Saturday night, Brooke gave birth to Charlie's latest kids, Max and Bob.
Max and Bob?
Wow, those are so normal.
Those are names.
Come on, celebrities, right, you have a job to do. You're supposed to name your kids something effed up.
Charlie has two daughters with Denise Richards and another 24-year-old daughter from a previous marriage. Did you know that?
No.
Wow. I did not either.
Wow.
If it wasn't his daughter, he would like to date her. That's how young she is. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan! Had an interesting weekend. Cop showed up at her house.
Oh.
Apparently, she and girlfriend Samantha Ronson had such a
nuclear
domestic disturbance that the neighbors called the cops.
Wow.
There seems to be a lot of that in that relationship.
Yeah.
According to witnesses, a window was broken at the home while the fight was going on, and the police were called for a domestic disturbance.
Hmm.
And then while they were there, I think they took some time to drop off her arrest warrant because she's violated some terms of her parole, apparently, with her her DUI and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She didn't complete her alcohol classes or something, and then she went to Vegas and without notifying she was leaving the state, or there's some sort of rigmarole regarding that. So, legal problems for Lindsay. Keira Knightley's boyfriend, Rupert Friend, says that his life's a living hell.
Why?
Because he's dating her?
No, Lisa, because the paparazzi
won't leave them alone.
Won't leave them alone.
Oh, yeah.
He says it's horrible.
I imagine that's broken up more than one relationship.
That is no way to live.
He says the media presence is like a pack of dogs on a wounded fox. He claims their tactics aren't just harassment, but inhuman.
Wow.
Lisa, he says he's had to fight the urge to cry when the paparazzi chase him.
Oh, he's out at this relationship so fast.
What? Fruit Loop. You know what I would do when I got really sad and depressed by the paparazzi? I'd have sex with my girlfriend, Keira Knightley.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what I'd do. Rupert.
Sweet.
Rupert. What kind of name is Rupert anyway? you fruit log. Just have sex with Keira Knightley. Shut up.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Complaining. Speaking of relationship news, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes.
Of the Ghost Whisperer.
Giant-sized can.
Yeah, she's lost a ton of weight. She looks great, by the way. You know what's so funny? She was the one who was bitching when they showed those photographs of her in the bikini.
Right.
In Hawaii. And saying, oh, they shouldn't mock me. I'm a woman and I have curves and that's just my body. First thing she did is, like, dedicate herself to the life in the gym.
Yeah.
Got a rockin' bod back.
Nice melons.
Now, apparently, she has a new boyfriend. Jamie Kennedy.
What?
He's on her show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're co-stars on that Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah,
I'm told. I've never seen an episode.
I haven't either. I saw a photo of them together, and it was as unlikely a pair as you would ever imagine.
Mm. He says they're in love. Actually, more than that. We're more than dating. He said, we're more than in love. Oh,
what's
sweet heaven.
What's the next step? More than in love.
In love. Love. I don't know. It's the next level. Oh, I love it when K-Rock and comic books come together, because it just goes to show you that I'm right and you're wrong. Well, did you hear about the big auction over the weekend?
No, yeah. I did not.
The Action Comics number 1, the first appearance of a little character you may know by the name of Superman.
Okay.
I think 1938, if I'm not mistaken, that comic book came out. Went up for auction this weekend. And somebody paid $317,200.
Glendale?
Wow.
For that.
That's a lot of dough.
You know who bought it?
Who?
John Dolman of System of a Down. The drummer for System of a Down.
No kidding.
John Dolman.
How about that?
How about that?
That's an expensive comic right there.
That is. The owner who sold it bought it in 1950 at a flea market for 35 cents.
Oh,
wow.
That's a pretty good return on your investment, right?
Yeah. That's a find.
Yeah, it sure is. And, you know, it's hard to be Chuck Norris.
Oh.
Everybody wants to be your friend.
Of course.
Just ask his good friend, Bob Barker.
He's friends with Bob Barker?
Apparently, Chuck Norris and Bob Barker are friends.
Guy that used to host The Price is Right?
That's right.
It's an Price is Wrong, bitch.
It's an unlikely bromance right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Bob said that Chuck was nice enough to teach him karate.
Please.
During their friendship.
He's a 200.
Apparently, he can kick your ass. Bob said he woke up after their first sparring session a little sore, went to the doctor, and discovered he had 4 cracked ribs.
From, sweet!
From Chuck Norris.
I like that God. Chuck doesn't let up on him a little.
What does he do to his enemies?
The guy's 70.
That's how he trains his friends. That's gotta suck.
Jeez, what a bitch.
And, are you ready for the latest and greatest feature film based on a TV show?
Man, there's a new one of these every day.
New Line Cinema's just announced. Up on the big screen. You ready?
What?
MacGyver.
No.
MacGyver the movie.
Oh.
The movie MacGyver.
I don't think I ever watched
you hear me?
That.
MacGyver.
I heard you say it.
Yeah. MacGyver was about a dude who was like some sort of secret agent, but his shtick was that he could make a tool out of anything. Yeah, like a safety pin and a piece of gum and a condom and make a nuclear weapon.
And that's not easy to do with only those three items.
Yeah, it depends on what's in the condom.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So, apparently, New Line Cinema believes they've got a franchise on their hands.
It was a long time ago, right? I mean,
80s?
A long
mid-80s?
Time ago.
Let me see here. 85 to 92, that's when the show ran.
Seems like that'd make a good movie.
I guess. You think?
Well, I mean, it's got a good premise, depending on who does it.
I guess if they made like a Bourne Identity kind of thriller action adventure thing, they could do it.
Or they could go the other direction if the producer and director of Deathbed, The Bed That
there
Eats,
you go.
If they did it.
They could do it comedy and put like Spicoli in it.
That's right. That's a great idea.
That'd be good. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Jerry Lewis, one of our all-time favorites, by the way.
Oh, love him.
Love him, yeah. Love
Not
him.
Only a talented actor, comedian, director, producer, but a great humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently has the ear of international politicians everywhere.
That's correct, yes. We've written large checks to his charity.
Yes, we have.
just for fun?
Gladly.
Just because we want to.
Gladly.
Oddly enough.
It.
Not coerced in any way.
He is 83 years old today. Game show host Chuck Woolery. Remember him from, what was it, Love Connection? What was on his big show?
All I remember
we'll
is
be back in
two and two.
Yeah.
That's right.
How dumb. What a dumb slogan.
But we all remember
it. See? Yeah. You remember.
All right.
He's 68 years old today. Hey, if you remember something, it's got to be good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but is that really what you want to be known for?
You're a game show host.
He's known
You're
for something.
You're lucky to be remembered at all.
Yeah.
All
right.
Remember what Wink Martindale used to say? No.
No.
See, that's what I'm telling you. Victor Garber.
Oh, yeah.
Very talented actor. Played, of course, the dad on Alias for many years. He is 60 years old. Eric Estrada is also 60 years old. Actress Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls is 42 years old today. And Flavor Flav turns 50.
Wow!
Turns 50 years old, still wearing a Viking helmet and a clock around his neck. And you're 50. Oh, Flav.
It works for him, though. I mean,
oh, Flav.
If you saw him without the hat and the clock around his neck, you'd be kind of bummed.
Oh, Flav.
I don't think I'd recognize him.
Oh, Flav. Yeah, if you didn't have that stuff, it's like, who's that homeless black dude?
Exactly.
Someone give him a dollar.
The grill, you'd recognize him.
Who's that homeless black dude with the grill? Give him a dollar. That's what I'd say. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know if you've seen this, but Roman Catholic bishops in Italy are urging the faithful to go on a high-tech fast for Lent this year.
Oh,
Lent,
good luck.
Lent started, what?
Ash Wednesday, so about
week and a half,
week
2 weeks
and a half ago, yeah.
He's saying that they need to not turn on the modern appliances, from cars to iPods, to abstain from surfing the web, to texting.
Is he high?
I don't have the answer to that. I hope so.
You can't get people to stop texting in movies. The Pope is not going to make that happen.
I think we need to check in with the Pope and find out just exactly what he thinks his chances are. Good morning, sir.
Guten Tag, Kevin and Ben. How are you?
We are very good. How are you today?
Ah, God bless you. I'm very good. Hold on a second. I'm twittering. I am on Kevin and Ben show.
Wait, what do you mean you're twittering?
K-R-O-Q. Okay, hi. How are you?
Did you say you're twittering?
No, I said I'm praying.
Hmm. Flaying?
Praying.
Oh, praying.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, praying to, you know, the big guy.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, is this new this year where you're asking Catholics to give up electronics?
Yes, this year we're asking for a Cyber Lent.
Cyber Lent. Okay.
Yeah, so you give up all of your electronic devices so you can concentrate on concrete human relationships.
For some people, that is their relationships.
I
they
know,
have nothing
are
else.
Sad people who should kill themselves.
What?
Oh, well, no, that would be a sin.
Yes.
Just lie down in front of a bus and see what happens.
And just see how it goes.
Doesn't
see how
sound that goes right.
For you. If God wants you to stick around, he'll save you. Otherwise, bye-bye.
Now, what if they're using their iPods to listen to, I don't know, messages from you or music that's inspirational? What about that?
They should be contemplating the spirit of the interior, not the exterior. So they should... Hold on a second. I have an IM here. Hold
okay.
on a second.
Wait.
O-F-W-A-I-H.
What does that mean?
Our Father who art in heaven. OMG, I am busy. I will get back to you.
You're instant messaging now.
No,
Your
I, am,
Holiness.
I have a connection with the Almighty, and so we have a spiritual conversation going on.
Oh, you called it an IM. That's
yeah,
why.
Yeah, you did.
I was thinking that was an instant message.
LOL, they bought the spiritual story.
I can hear you clicking on keys.
You can't. That's my arthritis.
That is. That's,
my hands are clicking.
Your hands are not clicking. That's
no.
That's a keyboard, clearly.
HMFOG. It's Hail Mary full of grace.
Okay. Wow, it's a whole other language.
So are you not going to give up the Twitter and the text and
I
the instant message?
I am giving it up. I am living a cyber-free life now.
Really? Okay.
And I want all Catholics to follow my lead and do what I say. Not what I do. T-H-O-T-L-B.
What's that? I don't know that.
Take your hands off the little boy.
Oh.
I'm writing a priest. I'm writing something to a priest
okay,
right
wait.
Now.
Oh. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 18 minutes after 6 o'clock.
How did we not hear about that, dude? Seriously.
I don't know. Wow. It's my life.
Friend at wedding.
Wow.
All right, we were just talking about Omar, last name Khan, who, when he was younger, called in... It wasn't really sick, per se, to get out of work on New Year's Eve. He was working as a waiter at Denny's, right?
I was working as a waiter in Denny's. I was like 18. It was like 98. And, it was New Year's Eve and graveyard at Denny's. Nobody wants to be working when you're 18. You're going to do whatever it takes to get out of work,
of
right?
Of course.
Especially there.
And
yeah.
By the way, before we go on, we are going to take your calls in a second for lies you told work. So that you could get out of work to party.
Yeah.
That's the important part. Not just because you don't feel like going in, but you had a great party that you wanted to go to, or you were out and you couldn't go back, or whatever. We're going to take your calls. We would also like to suggest this is not what you should do.
No.
But
no.
As tomorrow is on the horizon, you know, maybe some choice ideas for ways to call in sick.
Now, this is a good tip. So, yeah, my buddy, my coworker was having a good a party at his house. And, you know, it was a couple of blocks away from the Denny's. And so we figure... Bomb threat, right? Come on, they got to let
works.
You off for bomb threat,
they
right?
They have to, yeah.
Dad, why does Omar have a towel on his head?
So the shift started, our shift starts at 11 p.m., right? So it's 10 p.m., and we're across the street at a Kmart.
Yeah.
And on a payphone, you know, and we had to wait till this.
You know how to live, dude. You're at a Kmart on New Year's Eve.
Kmart New Year's Eve. You know?
This is, of course, pre-911.
Right.
Pre-911,
exactly.
I mean.
Yeah,
when the bomb threats got taken much more seriously.
Yes.
When Omar would have been taken away and never seen again. Yeah.
So we had to wait. Me and my buddy had to wait till this hostess got on shift, and we knew she was a big drama queen. So we knew as soon as, you know, bomb threat, I mean, she was going to go ballistic, you know. I mean,
they'd have to close
exactly,
the place down.
The other dudes working there would have totally, like, blew it off and then, like, whatever, you know, it's no big deal. But this chick, we knew for a fact that she was going to go all crazy, right? So we call it in, and I can imagine it was like one of those, Eric calls, dude, you know, hey, man.
Yeah, Eric.
You know,
hey, what's up, man?
It's
Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for
so
me.
Considering sure, acting skills of Omar.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to go. So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right? I want you to take care of
behind the counter or in the corner?
Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right?
All right, everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to blow up okay, all right?
I think one of their waiters did me some wrong. You know? So it must have gone like that or whatever. So we call it in, and the hostess, obviously, like we knew, she's freaking out. And me and my buddy walk in, and we're acting like totally concerned. Like, oh, my God, no way. We can't work
like
this.
Oh, so you called and then walked across the street to show up?
Exactly. Nice. So we walk in. We're like, oh my God, no way. And then, we start talking to the other female employees. We're like, oh, you know what? If this thing's real, I mean, I don't want to be here at midnight. And it's like, seriously, you know, like, kidding, you know, bugging people's ears.
Why at midnight? Did you say it was going to happen at midnight?
Probably. All right. Exactly. You know?
Oh!
Sorry.
Use the word effing.
Still angry.
Serving effing moons over my hand me to people. You know, you don't want to be doing
but
that.
But why don't you call in sick at like 9 or 10 so you can go to parties?
The bomb threat was funnier. All right. I don't know. You know, so finally the management, you know, pays attention to all the employees, and then they call the police, and then the police are on their way. And I was like, hey, bro, I don't feel comfortable. It's like 11 o'clock, you know. So management's finally give in. They're all like, okay, we're the police are on their way. You guys have 3 hours. Be back at 2 a.m.
Oh, no.
Do you believe that? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
so,
did you?
Yeah. We went and we partied hard, bro. I mean, my buddy was having a party at his basement. And as soon as we got in, we're drinking Coronas. And we partied for about 2.5 hours. And on the we drove back drinking in the car still.
Oh.
And then we get to work and we're like hammered. People got the worst service. It was crazy.
You think?
Yeah. It was bad. The toast was all burnt because we took a couple of the cooks with us, too.
So you had like 2 hours to party, to cram it all in.
Cram it all in, man. And yeah, it was insane.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's the best story ever.
So, bomb threat, everybody.
Yeah.
Call in. Not today.
Here's the thing about that. Maybe that's not a good idea anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to come up with something else. That's what Omar did to get out of work.
You could take Doc's advice, liquid from the neck down.
Yeah, that always works.
You can do that.
Yeah, totally.
But that's calling in sick. You kind of need something more. I mean, I love your idea because that gets everyone out.
Yeah, totally.
How are they going to trace that to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're trying to call in sick before St. Patrick's Day, it's so obvious, right?
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know. If you're Omar and it's St. Patrick's Day, you know, someone's going to go, hey, wait a minute.
Wasn't he drinking yesterday, too?
That guy really was hammered over the weekend.
That's true.
But, all right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll get to some more lies. That time of the month, sure. That seems to work.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We got a bunch. We have DJ Omar Khan in the studio with us. He called in 1998, did you say?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, he called the bomb threat in the Denny's. The bomb threat, not as funny as it once was.
Especially with my last name, right?
That's correct. So maybe that's not the way to go.
DJ Omar Khan.
But if you're looking for a way to get out of work, we were looking for some fun, funny ways people have done it. We haven't gotten any really good ones yet. One guy said a family member had a stroke.
Yeah, that's weak.
Because that's something that can kind of easily be checked.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do something that makes a little bit more sense. Let's go to Jerry in Riverside. Good morning, Jerry.
What it do, people?
Hi there.
What it do?
You called in sick so that you could go party.
Well, I was working at Costco at the time, mm-hmm. and my friend Amanda was going to introduce me to this girl and at a party that night, and I had to work, and it was a night shift at Costco. So I was on my way to work, and I was trying to figure out how to get out of work, and I couldn't really think of anything. So I called my sister, and I asked her to call in the Costco and tell them that my brother had gotten in a fatal car accident.
Oh, what? What? Did you say fatal?
Yeah. See, like I got into work, you know, and I was like kind of enthusiastic. I was like, yeah, well, I'm really going to put some hours in today. I'm going to bag some groceries tonight. And then my manager comes over like, Jerry, you need to get this phone call. There's an emergency. And I pick up the phone and my little sister's crying. She's like, Jerry, you already got in a car accident. Oh my God, his friend got killed and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh my God, my brother got in a car accident. And they're like, go, you got to go. Let us know how it went and stuff. So.
Wow. Wow. Did they find out later because he wasn't killed in a car accident?
No, actually, they never checked up on it. I was wondering about it.
All right, then.
Doesn't really care that much.
They just want their shift covered. All right, thank you. Death of a relative. Not the easiest one to pull off, but okay. Let's go to Daisy in West Covina. Good morning, Daisy.
morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's the lie you told to get out of work so you could party?
Well, I was going to a USC football game. I'd just gotten tickets, and I had to work, so I called my supervisor and told him that it was that time of the month. And he was so grossed out that he just was just like, okay, okay, and he hung up on me. So
that's kind of the same thing as liquid from the neck down. You don't want any more. You don't want further details. That's
yeah, but don't chicks work when it's the time of the month?
Well, generally, but occasionally they're so bad that you really can't.
Really?
I mean, that's never happened to me, unfortunately,
yes, Mike.
I totally forgot. It just dawned on me. I remember a coworker of mine at a former job had a great one, and it worked perfectly. He told our boss that he had to go do an intervention on one of his best friends.
And went to a party with that friend?
He got out of it, and it was totally to go to Vegas early. But he said, he's like, it's a close friend of mine, and we don't want to do this, but it's really bad. He's deep in the drugs, and tomorrow's the intervention, man.
Wow.
I'm sorry. And of course, the boss is like, oh, whatever you need. Of
sure.
course. I understand totally.
That's awesome.
I can bring you the paperwork that the guys at the rehab center, that they
why would out. He say that?
Because he knew that the boss was like, no, don't worry about it. You go ahead and take your... And no one ever asked questions again because it's kind of a hush-hush deal.
Right.
It's a perfect one.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's not bad. All right, let's go to Jessica in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi there. You lied to get out of work to go party. What'd you tell him?
Well, I used to work the graveyard shift at Target, and I got in. Well, I was at a party, and I figured, okay, well, before I go to work, I'll go party, and I can control myself. That didn't happen. I got trashed before work, so I was like, I can't go to work. I called them up, and I was like, I can't come in. I can't. And they're like, what happened? Where are you? And I was just like, I'm locked in a store. I can't come in.
I'm locked in a store?
Yeah, I'm locked in. That was my excuse. I don't know what I was thinking. But
what store?
I don't remember. I'm locked in a store, and I can't come.
I'm locked in a store. That's a strange one.
Yeah, and I got fired the next day.
Well, I'm sorry to say this, but you kind of deserved it. Locked in a store.
Now,
thank
we
you
had
for the
a
call.
Guy that called in one day to work that said he couldn't come because his garage door wouldn't come up.
What?
It was broken.
Oh, so he couldn't get his car out?
Yeah, he couldn't get his car out of his garage.
Can't you just pull it up by
Not
hand?
Not all of them.
Huh.
I guess that would work, right?
No. You'd get a ride from a friend. They, you know, the boss would say, hey, get a ride with
so
and so.
He lived like in Thousand Oaks or something, and he had to come to L.A. Huh.
Well, all right.
We always
just
doubted
saying,
him, but we couldn't prove anything.
Jay in Huntington Beach. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
What lie did you tell to get out of work so you could party?
Wait, first of all, Omar, the bomb threat.
Yeah.
That's going in the arsenal, bro. Well played.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I think what we're trying to say here, Jay, is that perhaps the bomb threat not as entertaining as it was before September 11th.
You never know if you don't try it, man.
A little bit.
What did you do?
Anyways, Huntington Beach, big 4th of July, always a big day.
Huge,
there.
Yes.
Big parade, everything. You know, on top of that, you got my birthday.
Well...
So, you know, I'm working at this this restaurant downtown, and I'm partying the night before. It's my birthday, and I'm going to jump in both feet.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm supposed to go to work later that night, and I'm like, you know, I'm being pretty naughty. You know, we're on alcohol, other things,
sure.
And you know, I'm out of my tree basically.
Sure.
And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to show up. So I call in, and I'm like, hey, my cousin. He got gunned down in Oakland. He was in a gang, got mixed up with the wrong people, and basically got involved in a drive-by shooting last night, and he's dead.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So they told me to come in anyway.
What?
Yeah.
What? So like, they told you to come in anyway?
Yeah.
They
I'm
must
like,
not have believed you.
And I'm, so I was already downtown, and they knew it because I live right by the restaurant. I'm like, you know, I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I already look like I'm all distraught. I mean, I've been up for a day and a half. I'm just... tattered. I'm like, I can totally pull this off. So I jump down my car, get in there, I go in, they look at me, they take one look at me, they just tell me to go home.
Well, you people that show up after you call in to lie are unbelievable to me. I mean, it worked out in your case, Jay, but did they ever find out that your cousin wasn't dead?
No. This I told them it was up in Oakland. There was no way to verify. I mean,
he didn't even have a cousin.
I got cousins.
Not anymore. All right, thank you, Jay, for the call. That's a good one. Cousin dead in drive-by. Okay. Let's go to Nick in Corona. Good morning, Nick.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good.
What lie did you tell your work so you could party?
Actually, I didn't. I'm an employer, and I had a guy call in, and like 2 days after not being no call, no show,
And he said, he told me that he was in a fight and he got jumped by like three guys and he got stabbed in the butt.
Stabbed in the butt? But he didn't call you ahead of time? He called you 2 days after he was supposed to be there?
Yeah, I didn't hear from the guy, nothing. So the story sounded kind of fishy. We checked his employee file and we found out that it happened supposedly on his birthday.
Uh-huh.
And when he gets to work, I told him he needed to bring a doctor's note. So he gets to work and he brings me this note that's like printed out on computer paper.
It's written in crayon.
Totally suspicious. So I Googled the doctor's name on the note, and the very first result that came up said, how to create a fake doctor's note.
Oh.
And it was funny because he used the exact same template and same wording, everything. He just plugged his name in there.
Wow, you're a hard ass, Nick. What are you tracking this dude down for? Don't you just say, hey, let me see the stab mark.
Well, when he came into work, he conveniently placed the stab wound on his butt so I wouldn't have to see it.
I see. I gotcha.
He wasn't limping around, and he sat down in my office and everything, so I knew something was going on.
I gotcha. All right, stabbed in butt doesn't work. Thank you. Let's go to Andy in West L.A. I'm not sure I can pull this one off, but Andy, thank you for calling.
Hey, morning, guys. Morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
You called work to say what so you could party?
My buddy tried to convince me to use the excuse of leading a Bible study group over a weekend.
Well, okay, because that seems movable. I mean, if I'm a boss, I would say, well, why don't you change the time or something?
Yeah, if the boss is, well, I gave the name of the church that the boss actually goes to without knowing it. So, apparently his son was going to be at this Bible study group.
What? You're the worst liar ever.
No. It was my friend's fault. It was my friend's fault. So he convinced me to actually volunteer to lead a Bible study group for the weekend. And I did that and did it the whole day and then drove home 3 hours so that we could party that night.
So, wait a minute. So you called your boss to say you were leading a Bible study. It was the boss's...
I didn't call him. I told him to his face.
Okay, well, but it was the boss's church, and the boss's son went to that Bible study.
Yes, he did.
So how was the lesson that day? Were you firing brimstone? Were you preaching?
Oh, man, I was exercising demons, let me tell you.
That song is for real.
Gonna take it all away.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Clips from the Celebrity Apprentice last night.
Excellent.
We're going to talk to Donald, aren't we?
Fantastic show.
Yes. Can you host it for us?
Yes.
We'll talk to Donald and hear some of the highlights. Right now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the entertainment news, I want to give you a heads up to all you B-Boy fans. You know they're coming to the Hollywood Bowl on September the 24th.
Yes.
Tickets go on sale May the 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wrong!
What?
They don't go on sale May the 2nd?
Well, they do.
Oh.
But
what's wrong
if
about
you'd like to get advance tickets, if you'd like to buy your tickets before they go on sale to the general public, the Hollywood Bowl is offering you a very special deal.
Okay.
You can choose 5 concerts now for their summer concert series. If you buy 5 concerts, get tickets for 5 concerts, you can order your tickets now.
Huh. That's different.
So let's say you want to go to the Beasties in September. But you go to HollywoodBowl.com, and you find 4 other shows you'd also like to go to. Death Cab is playing, for example. You buy your tickets, all 5 of them, and then you get your choice of your seats before they go on sale to the general public on May 2nd.
How about
which
that?
Which is sweet. So go to HollywoodBowl.com, and you can look through their schedule and see if there's 5 shows you'd like to go to, or 4 including the Beasties, if you're a Beastie fan. And then you get your tickets early. So we just wanted to give you a heads up. HollywoodBowl.com is where you want to go. Look at what they got this year. They got Death Cab, as I mentioned. They've got Super Diamond, the Neil Diamond impersonator. He's doing an evening at the bowl, along with an ABBA tribute group. Now that is a sweet evening.
It's a terrible evening.
It's awesome. They've got John Williams and Music of the Movies. You ever seen this?
Oh, they do every year.
You know John Williams, who's the dude who created the themes for Jaws and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars and Superman. Like every great movie theme in the past 30 years, John Williams has composed. He leads the LA Philharmonic Orchestra and plays all of those themes from all those great movies.
Hmm.
That's a cool evening. If you're trying to impress a chick, nothing beats like one of these classical nights, like Mozart Under the Stars or one of these kind of deals.
Their
panties come right off, boys. Trust me.
Sound of Music sing along.
Yes, Lisa. The Sound of Music sing along is also available this year.
It's the best.
They
do that every year.
They take Sound of the Music
song.
And they put it up on the big screen, and they have a live orchestra playing along, and then you get to sing along with the songs from Sound of Music.
The best.
Oh,
Oh, f*** you.
Anyway, just thought I'd give you a heads up if you wanted to buy tickets early for the show.
Thank
there
you.
You go. There you go. Not you.
Oh.
Listen, sound of music, sing along.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Race to which mountain? That mountain. See, race to which mountain?
I don't think that's
that mountain. That's the mountain we're racing to.
That's
which
not a
mountain?
Question.
That's what I said. That mountain. No, which mountain? That mountain. They do that a lot in the movie, I think.
I don't think they do.
They
did you
do.
See it?
It's really funny.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Rock goes, what? What movie? Which mountain? Yes, that mountain. But which mountain? I told you already. That mountain over there. Which mountain? Yes, that one.
You are not continuing this.
I'm saying that's what they do.
Right.
In the whole movie.
But they
it's
don't.
Hilarious. $25 million it made this weekend. Watchmen, a little over $18 million, made it number two. Last House on the Left was third. Taken came in at number four. I finally got around to seeing that this weekend. Good movie. That Liam Neeson.
He's
will F you up.
He will. You do not want to kidnap his daughter.
No, you
I know
do
that
not.
For a fact.
Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail was number five. Slumdog Millionaire. Paul Blart, Mall Cop. He's Just Not That Into You. Coraline and Miss March rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Remember I told you last week that both Kanye West and Miley Cyrus were cheesed off at Radiohead because they wouldn't meet with them backstage at the Grammys?
Yeah, they both wanted to say hi, and both of them were angry.
Yeah, Miley especially. Her manager forced, Radiohead manager up against the wall and said, look, Miley's really obsessed. She has to meet them. And they're like, we don't do that. No, thank you. So she went on the radio and talked about it and said how pissed off she was and, you know, how they suck and blah, blah, blah. Well, Tom York finally speaking out about the incident wrote on the Radiohead website, when Miley grows up, she'll learn not to have such a sense of entitlement.
Wow.
Booyakah!
That's awesome.
Probably not.
Yeah, it was pretty strong. So, good for you, Tom.
Yeah.
You cockeyed limey. You guys familiar with Jackie Mason?
Mm-hmm.
I know of him. He's a comedian.
Jackie Mason is a comedian from the old days.
Yeah.
He is a borscht belt, as they used to call them, a comedian that would travel like the Catskill resorts in upstate New York.
Look up borscht belt.
That was the borscht belt. A lot of comedians would do the tour of those hotels, resort hotels up in the Catskill Mountains, where all the people who lived in the city would go to in the summertime to go up there to get cool.
Okay.
Because air conditioning wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. Okay?
Okay.
He's about 100 years old.
Right.
But he talks like this. He's very Jewish. What are you doing over there? What's that to you? What are you doing? Hey, what are you? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, dude. He was in the second Caddyshack, if that rings a bell at all. He was in Caddyshack 2.
Hmm.
Anyway, he's in a bunch of trouble.
What happened?
Because during his act on Friday night, he called President Barack Obama a Schwarze.
Which
is that
means...
bad?
Schwarze in Yiddish, literally translated, means black.
Sweet!
But some people believe it's sort of a...
slang for the N-word?
A racial epithet, yeah. It's sort of a slang word for a black fellow.
Okay.
That is not exactly... It's a derogatory term.
Okay.
And so people walked out of his act.
Wow.
Look at the president. And the president is Schwarze. And they walked out.
Hmm.
Well, now he is defending himself. Saying he's not going to defend himself.
What?
Well, he's defending himself publicly by saying, I don't need to defend myself.
Oh,
said,
I see.
While defending himself. Chris Rock has told a lot more jokes about whites than I have against blacks, he said.
Well, that's true.
What about the demeaning words blacks say about Jews? If it's a racist society, then the white people are the ones being persecuted because they have to defend themselves.
That's a good point.
Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are professional racists.
Well, that's true.
I'm an old Jew. I was raised in a Jewish family where Schwarze was used. It's not a demeaning word. I'm not going to defend myself. He said, defending himself. I'm more talented than Oprah Winfrey, and look how much money she makes. I can't even make a living.
Oh, come on.
What's he talking about now?
No idea. He's all over the place. But I love him because he's crazy, old, and Jewish.
Wow.
I'm more talented than Oprah Winfrey, and look how much money she makes. I can't even make a living. I'm not going to defend myself, but I'm defending myself by saying I'm not going to defend myself. Very rare chance to do my Jackie Mason.
Doesn't come up very often.
Had to do that.
Story. Does my butt look big?
Sadly, Keira Knightley has announced she will not be returning for the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
Johnny Depp's already on board to return as Captain Jack Sparrow, which I guess really is all they need.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But I would like to see her again because she's lovely.
She is.
It was a completely fantastic experience, and it was an amazingly large portion of my life, but I don't think I need to go there again, she said. I think it's done, but I'm very excited to see the next one, and Johnny is so wonderful in that character, I think it will be wonderful. But not wonderful enough to work in. I see how it is.
She'll see it. You go see it, but you won't be there. But you don't like him, but you do.
I just do Jackie Mason all day long. People say, who is he doing? Who is that?
I've never heard of that guy.
Sounds like an old Jewish guy.
It's an old Jew, but you do it with the shorts and the you.
Today's celebrity birthdays are so powerful that I can't read them right now. I have to give you just a second to brace yourself.
Okay.
And are you braced?
Yes.
Okay. Jerry Lewis, speaking of old Jewish and comedian, 83 years old today. Game show host Chuck Woolery is 68. Victor Garber, super talented guy. Not only was he the guy on Alias, he was Sidney's dad, remember, who was a spy in his own right? But the guy's been on Broadway. He can sing and dance. He can do it all. 60 years old today. Eric Estrada is also 60.
Sing and dance and do it all as well.
He can do it all.
Yes.
Flavor Flav is 50 years old today. What do you do when you're an old Flavor Flav?
I don't know, but it doesn't seem like he's there yet.
Reality shows.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock. He's the guy who plays, wears the hilarious hats.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
on 30 Rock.
The guy with the big mutton chops.
Big mutton chops and big glasses.
Was he going to be the lawyer?
And the funny hats. Yes, who was going to be a lawyer. Yeah. He is 40 years old. And actress Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls is 42 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Right now, let's go to Donald Trump and talk to him about the Celebrity Apprentice. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I am the host and creator of the greatest television show, highest rated show ever in the history of NBC Network, for any show that ever followed a show called Kings.
That's a pretty small category.
But I'm number one.
Okay. All right.
Did you watch the show last night?
I didn't, actually. I'm one behind. I watched last week's.
It was the best show we've ever done so far, ever, in this season, with starring people like Jesse James.
Right. Okay, that's quite a category.
Now, last week you kicked off Tom Green, which couldn't happen to... No, it wasn't Tom Green. It was the other dude. It was the skater.
Scott Hamilton.
Scott Hamilton, yes.
Right. An adorable little imp of a man.
Yeah.
Who is a wonderful ice skater, but not a great project manager.
That's correct, yes.
So he had to go. And this week, I had a special task for all the celebrities, but first I wanted to greet them, as I do every week, with a little piece of information.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Joan Rivers won't be with us this morning, but you'll be back with us tomorrow.
Yes.
What?
That was it?
Why did they need to know that?
Because Joan could not participate in the first day of the challenge, and I wanted everyone to know that.
But why does she get time off?
Joan has a special situation because, you see, she needs to have the embalming fluid that runs through her veins changed every 3 days, or else she will rot from the inside.
I see.
Oh, okay.
So we had to take her to the funeral home and hook her up and get formaldehyde pumped into her veins.
I don't think that's public yet.
It isn't?
It is now, I mean, but I don't... Oh. I'm not sure it was before this.
The cat may be out of the bag,
okay.
And the corpse may be out of the coffin in this particular case.
All right.
So the challenge this week was for the girls' team and the men's team to sell wedding dresses. That's what they needed to do.
To sell wedding dresses.
Whoever sold the most wedding dresses and made the most money would win money for their charity.
Okay.
All right.
And some of the guys thought they were at a disadvantage being men, that women would know more about wedding dresses than they do.
Makes sense.
But not Dennis Rodman. Because he knows he has a woman inside him.
That's very true.
Out of my team, I think that I know women more than anybody. I'm like more like, you ever see the movie Ghost? He came back as a ghost and got inside Whoopi Goldberg body. That's me.
That's him.
What?
Apparently, Dennis has been inside Whoopi Goldberg. This is more information than I needed. Well, the girls' team start calling their celebrity friends right away because all the money goes to charity. They were trying to get their celebrity friends to pay as much money as possible for these wedding dresses.
Right.
And so Melissa Rivers called her good friend Joe Francis, who created, of course, Girls Gone Wild.
Right.
And she gets him to buy a wedding dress for a ridiculous amount of money.
Mm-hmm. No, I know you're getting married soon, so why don't you buy a wedding dress? How about five?
Okay, $5,000. You got it. Good luck, guys.
Thank you.
Joe Francis bought a wedding dress for $5,000.
What?
$5,000.
Wow.
Which is good because it'll make him very popular in prison when he puts that on.
That's true.
Every night will be a wedding night for Joe Francis in prison wearing a dress.
I'm talking about anal sex here.
Yes, I think we understand. I think we understand what you're saying.
And Melissa Rivers, may I add, not only is she an excellent player in this game, but she did a great job as the Joker. I thought she was wonderful in that film.
Pretty sure that wasn't her, but okay.
She looks exactly like the Joker.
She does. That's
I could
true.
See that, yeah.
She is. Her face is completely frozen.
Yeah.
She's not good. She's
now, Dennis Rodman has decided he's going to go hit the streets to try to get some hype going for his team. And by streets, I mean bars. He would just walk into bars all over New York City and drink.
Okay.
And Jesse James is happy that Dennis is finally getting involved with the team.
The good thing about today is we found out how to get Dennis to talk more and be more interactive. The bad thing about it is that it's vodka and cranberry juice that makes him do that.
When Dennis finally returns, he's loaded.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. But luckily, he's there just in time for the models that show up who are going to be modeling the wedding dresses when they go on sale.
Excellent timing.
Dennis loves models.
He does, yeah.
Some more than others. Particularly this one young model he was talking to.
Hey, Tom. Hey, one of the models.
Hello, how are you? Sorry.
She looks good. Where are you from, Romania?
I was born in Russia, Moscow.
Oh, I love Russian bitch girls. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No,
it's Russian bitches.
Wow.
That's the way to get
him. Charming.
He is the man.
He really is.
That's why he has a woman inside of him, because of that sort of sensitivity. He's inside Whoopi Goldberg.
That's what I hear, yeah.
Well, the next day is the day of the challenge when all the dresses must be sold. Unfortunately, when the day starts, Tom Green and Dennis Rodman don't show up.
What?
Where were they?
They were out drinking the night before.
Awesome.
And they both overslept. And Jesse James is not too pleased.
I don't know where Tom and Dennis were, but they weren't with us. And then our project manager shows up, and he's still kind of a little bit drunk, I think.
So Tom Green drunk is nothing I would wish on anybody.
No, he's super annoying when he's not drunk.
Yeah. Well, Dennis Green, who's that? Tom Green.
I don't know who that is. Dennis is his brother, his less funny brother.
Wasn't Dennis Green the coach?
He was for a while. He was for a while.
He's going to be my next celebrity apprentice. Dennis Rodman and Tom Green. Tom finally shows up, but Dennis does not. And when we got into the boardroom, we found out the men lost the challenge. And I think it's largely Dennis's fault.
Sure.
For not showing up at all.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even though Tom Green claims he knocked on his door at the hotel. Now, Dennis did not answer that door because he was hungover.
Right.
And I challenged him about that in the boardroom and tried to relate it to something he would remember, like his days in the NBA.
If Phil Jackson's knocking on your door, you open that door. Is that right?
Answer that question honestly, no.
No.
No, I didn't play to play it. Michael Jordan did the
it's
same thing.
It's a piece of work, I'll tell you.
Michael Jordan did the
if
same
Michael
thing.
Michael Jordan knocks on your door. Do you open that door?
I do not open a door.
You just say, Michael, open. Screw you.
No, excuse me.
Is that a mood thing, Dennis?
It's not a mood thing. It's like saying, you know what, today I don't feel good today. You know what, can you guys help me out? That's what a team's all about.
That's what
teamwork is all about. How can you help me I'm hungover?
He's amazing.
Isn't teamwork helping the team?
You can't spell team without help me.
That's true. That is true.
And that's what he thought his team should do, just pick up the slack for him.
Wow.
So now I was left with a quandary between firing Tom Green, who was horrible, or Dennis Green, who was Dennis Green.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Are you drinking?
Did you go out with the guys?
I already fired Dennis Green. He's not even on the show anymore.
All right, good.
Dennis Rodman and Tom Green, which one should I fire? It was a hard decision, but I had to make it.
Yeah.
Tom, you're fired. Go.
What?
You were lousy last week, lousy this week. We have to do it. Go.
All right. That's fine.
Tom Green had to be fired.
How did you pick him over Dennis Green?
Wasn't Dennis Rodman the leader of the group?
No, Tom Green was.
Oh, okay, good.
Perhaps I didn't make that clear to you.
I didn't understand that, sorry.
But still,
is right.
He wanted to fire him. You wanted to fire him as well last week. I mean, he's been horrible.
Tom has been so bad for so long, I couldn't ignore it any longer.
Yeah.
On top of the fact, he's Canadian.
There is that as well,
so
yes.
He had to go.
Yeah.
And Tom proving that he had what it takes until the very end, when he left the boardroom and got into the office, this happened. Please listen to my receptionist.
Excuse me, Tom. Wrong elevator.
Yeah, Tom got the wrong elevator.
Poor Tom.
Didn't even know how to leave the show. Couldn't accomplish that task. Getting out of the building was too hard for him. What an asshole.
We got Josh Fries coming in the studio. He's played drums on pretty much every CD in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Pretty much everyone, and he will take you to P.F. Chang's.
Really?
If you want to spend the money for it, he will join your band for a month. You can take shrooms and tour of Hollywood. You can go to Tijuana with him. He's got a lot of weirdness coming up. And we're going to talk to him about that just after 8 o'clock this morning as he is in the studio. One of the bands that he plays with, Nine Inch Nails, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's time to announce K-Rock's World Tour Destination number 6, which is Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction. They're touring together.
Oh, yeah.
In Tel Aviv.
That's unusual.
Wow.
I think that'd be fascinating to go there.
Hell of a light show. I'll tell you that. That's what's going on there. You get on the standby boarding list very soon here on K-Rock. You get tickets to see their show May 20th, which is at Verizon Wireless.
Okay.
Tickets go on sale for that. Go on sale Friday at 3. But you get tickets plus a Jane's Addiction box set and a deluxe edition of Nine Inch Nails The Slip signed by Trent.
Sweet.
So you get all that to qualify. And then if you're our grand prize winner, you will get a trip for two to Tel Aviv.
K-Rock World Tour 2009. Your favorite K-Rock bands in places all over the planet.
Runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Roger that. Destination 6. Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction in Tel Aviv.
Here we go! Get on the standby boarding list all week and win tickets
to Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction, May 20th.
Verizon Wireless M.
Tickets on sale Friday at 3.
K-Rock, that's your dial. Better stick to it and listen to it, okay?
We'll hook you up with the deluxe edition of Nine Inch Nails, The Slip.
Signed by Trent Reznor.
And the new limited edition Jane's Addiction box set from Rhino Records. Listen for your name Friday morning and you'll be off.
Buckle up
to see Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction in Tel Aviv.
And you are listening to the world famous K-Rock.
K-Rock. Okay, I'll check y'all later.
Keep listening.
106.7.
Lura, lura.
K-Rock is K-Rock.
Lura, lura, lie. Tura, lura, lura.
It's
Irish an
roots.
Irish lullaby. Oh, it reminds me of the old country, that music does. Sit in the pub. Playing my penny whistle.
What is that? Is that code?
No, penny whistle is what they play in the Irish pubs. It's right. Their music. And they have their drums and their fiddles and whatnot.
Every year at this time, we...
Why are we in the echo chamber?
I'm not sure exactly why that's happening.
Why are we in the tube of history?
Fergal Murray?
How are you?
Wait, hang on. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second. We got some phone trouble. All right, you there now?
Yes. No. Okay. How's things?
Fergal, how are you, sir?
Great stuff. You, great.
Tomorrow... Here in the States, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, what a place to be.
It's good crack, as they say in the homeland.
You enjoy yourselves on St. Patrick's Day in America. I love it.
We certainly do.
We do, as a matter of fact. Now, Fergal, for people who don't know you, you're the brewmaster for Guinness.
Yes. What a task, Fergal, that I have to have.
Is it true that you have to taste every batch of Guinness that's made?
The team, if I'm back home in the brewery, yes, I'll be there helping out. It's part of the job as the master brewer is to ensure that you always get great tasting, great looking Guinness. It's the best part of the job. You get to the end of the day, you can, you know, make sure that what we've created during the day is perfect.
Never. How much is a batch?
Oh, well, we make 4 million pints a day at St. James's Gate.
4 million pints a day?
That's funny because I can drink about 4 million pints a day. You're just about breaking even with me.
Yeah. So it's a big, big volume. We've got to serve the whole of North America, Canada and U.S. with that, and Ireland, U.K. and Western European markets. So, and a few other smaller markets around the world, all getting the same great-tasting, great-looking draft Guinness.
I'll tell you, Fergal, I've taken the tour there, the Guinness Brewery in Dublin, and the tasting room at the end of the tour, it is the best Guinness you've ever had in your life, that Guinness that comes out of there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should hope so. I should hope so. When you come to the home of Guinness, it should be good, all right. But you get, I mean, don't let that upset anybody else, because everywhere in North America, you get the same great-tasting pints. And I've been to some fantastic bars in the last few days, all doing a fantastic job with great tasting, great looking pints of Guinness.
Now, where have you been the last couple of days? Are you in Ireland or are you here in America?
I'm in the U.S.
Oh,
I've had a little road show. Hit a few towns. I've been in Dallas. I've been in Philadelphia. I've been in Washington, D.C. Been in New York. I'm going back to New York tomorrow, so it's going to be great.
Now, are you still trying to get the holiday declared?
Yeah, we're still working on that. I mean, you get the momentum's there to get the signatures done. Signing up. People love the idea.
Tell us how that works, though, because I didn't think you could get a national holiday just by getting signatures.
Well, you know, I think that's the once you get the signatures, then you have to get some willing congressmen to bring it up to the Senate to get confirmed.
Oh, I see. Right.
That might be the trick.
For those of you who don't know, we talked to Fergal last year, is that he is part of a movement to try to get St. Patrick's Day recognized as an official national holiday here in the United States.
The momentum is there, so it's a matter of taking it on. I've been talking to a couple of the congressmen. They like the idea. I think that what's actually the difficulty is nobody actually knows how to do it. How do they declare Columbus Day a national holiday?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. But
it's been around forever. I don't know how they do that.
They would know.
They would. They don't. See, nobody actually knows when Columbus Day is, actually.
Hmm.
Do you know when it is?
God, no.
You all know when St. Patrick's Day is,
that's
don't
we? True.
Yes, we do.
So, I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. Let's make it happen.
Now, we talked to you last year. I'm sure we brought up the same thing, which is that I'm not sure St. Patrick's Day should be a holiday, but the day after.
That keeps coming up, that
should
day.
Definitely yeah. be a holiday.
Well, I think, you've got to work it out with your local employer.
Okay, all right.
But if you had the 17th off, you could start drinking early enough in the day.
But you're not going to stop.
You're going to pass out, though, if you do it right. So you pass out around 6, then you're good for the next day.
I see, all right. I'm not that good. Usually I will keep drinking. And that's how many signatures do you need, Fergal?
We're aiming, the target's a million.
A million.
To get, and we're well on the way. I think if you log on the website there, you'll see how many, that's the website format. And then there's this text messaging format where you text in the words SIGN to 65579. And then there's a whole range of petitions out there in local pubs and bars that you should sign up as well. I mean, I've seen people been signing up all weekend. So the number is quite high. So I think we're nearly there.
If we don't get a holiday, Fergal, I'm going to claim once again it's the prejudice against the Irish here in America that's keeping us down.
We'll take it on the chin as usual.
That's right. There used to be signs outside hotels that say no dogs, no actors, no Irish. They wouldn't even let us in. And once again, they're keeping us down.
You know what? We'd always come back fighting, though.
That's right.
That's correct.
And everybody wants to be like an Irishman. They always want to have our spirit and community and love for life, They can't get us.
I got to tell you, I was in Dublin 1 year for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And it is so huge there. During the day, they close everything and all the families come out and there's a huge parade and everyone is out there.
That's what happens on a national holiday.
That's right. We could have that here.
We should have that here.
Everybody comes. It's a family day in Ireland. It really is a special day for people just to sort of kick back. And the day is about letting all the cares in the world go away. It's not about St. Patrick's. It's not about being Irish. But it really is about a day of saying, listen, the whole world got a lot of problems, and we don't want to think about it on St. Patrick's Day.
Let's drink.
Let's drink.
Just go out and have a night. Well, drink a little pint of Guinness along the way. It doesn't harm anybody. But let's keep it sensible, as they say.
Do it responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also like to kill a snake in his honor, Fergal. That's what I do on St. Patrick's Day.
It's always a good idea.
Yes, it is.
I mean, whatever it takes. I know in L.A. you could do all sorts of things like that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So how's things going over there in L.A.? California, is it looking good this morning?
Yeah, it's not bad. I think it's supposed to rain today, but it's not too bad.
No, actually. It'll be nice.
Really? Okay.
A little rain. It's probably a good idea, huh?
I like if it's a little gray on St. Patrick's Day. It makes me think of Ireland.
Drives you indoors.
Exactly.
The only thing to have then is a glorious pint being poured by a great bartender, huh?
Sounds good.
All right, Fergal, well, you're doing good work. When do you think you'll have the signatures so you can go to the congressman so they can figure out?
Sign up anytime you like.
Right, but I'm saying.
Sign up after the day. We'll be picking up with it as soon as the St. Patrick's Day is finished. We'll get the people who've been running it to give us a tally, and then we'll talk to what they call some lobbyists.
Lobbyists.
Congressmen to sort of take a step further.
You'd think freaking Ted Kennedy, being Irish, would be heading this up. Because I know he likes the occasional cocktail.
There's a number of them down there. Your new leader seems to be a quarter Irish, so I've heard.
Is that right?
Also, that's what he's claiming.
He's got a little everything in him, I think.
Well, that's what we like to hear.
He's multicultural, as they say.
Get a pint into him this weekend, I'll be all right.
I would like that as well. I would love to see our president knock one back.
I think he should. I think that should be the campaign. Get Barrack to have a pint.
Guinness.com is the website if you want to go for more information or to sign up to add your name to the petition that's trying to get March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, a national holiday here in the United States.
Guys, it's been great. Have a great St. Patty's Day.
Thank you.
Erin go bra, Fergal.
Erin go bra.
106.7. Excuse me.
yeah.
106.7.
Voice for radio.
K-Rock.
Boy Kevin.
K-R-O-Q.
Hey,
everybody, it's K-Rock.
It's Peter Brady going through puberty over there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing the best I can, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I've got.
That's what's so sad.
7:51.
If I thought you were slacking, I'd be able to give you a break.
Josh Freese in the studio just after the top of the hour. He's got a new CD that comes out about a week from now, and he's got some strange items up for bid, including taking you to Tijuana.
He's got some experiences for sale, which that's what you really want to get. You can always buy things, but how often can you buy adventures? You
know? I agree. I'm with you.
It's pretty cool.
So we'll talk to him just after the top of the hour, and now it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You know, last hour we were talking about the fact that the Hollywood Bowl has this program where if you buy 5 concerts this week, you can get all your tickets ahead of time before they go on sale to the general public. And we were talking about that because of the Beastie Boys show, which is on September the 24th. General public can't buy the tickets until May the 2nd, but if you go with this program where you buy 5 different events at the Hollywood Bowl this season, you can get your tickets now. You get your choice of the seating before the rest of the public gets shots at the tickets, which is a cool idea. So that's HollywoodBowl.com if you want to get your tickets for the Beastie Boys show on September the 24th before anyone else can get them. But we were talking about what you need to do is you need to get 5 events. So you get Beasties, and then you need 4 more shows.
Is there another Beastie Boys?
You have to buy. No, there's Death Cab for Cutie, as I mentioned. They're playing. Incubus is doing something at the Bowl this year as well, so you can check them out.
There you go.
But we were talking about it, and I mentioned the John Williams thing where he plays all these music from his motion picture scores. You know, he's done like Jaws and Superman and Star Wars and all that kind of cool stuff. And Lisa May brought up the worst thing on the list.
What a surprise.
There's everything that you could go here. You could go see Dizzy Gillespie do jazz. You could see, there's countries. Faith Hill, for God's sakes, I would do before what Lisa recommended.
I think it sounds like fun. So I've never actually done it.
Well, then what do you know? Are they doing the sing-along with Sound of Music? And I looked, and sure enough, there is a sing-along with the Sound of Music where they play the movie and everyone gets to sing along with the movie.
Yeah.
And I said, it's a beloved movie, and everyone knows the words.
Yeah. Well, here's how bad Lisa is. We didn't even know. I got an email from a listener, Millicent, right? Lisa didn't mention...
Sorry, basement.
...that people dress at the show as nuns, Nazis...
Come on.
...kids in lederhosen. It's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. They carry my favorite things, like people will bring in a large plastic snowflakes, or girls in white dresses and dolls, blue satin sashes. A lot of the gay men will cross-dress as the Von Trapp family and or a pregnant Julie Andrews.
What the hell's going on?
How horrible is this event?
It's the worst thing ever.
During the commercial break, she looks over at me and tells me that, and she says, "Isn't that awesome?" And I said, no, not at all.
Oh, we got to do something.
What do we do?
I don't know, but something has to be done. That's not enough anymore. Apparently, all the time you spent in the basement has done you no good about correct your ways.
Look, you can enjoy that. Just don't bring it up to us.
Sing
you got to know your audience.
Sing along with the freaking Sound of Music. Anyway, it's HollywoodBowl.com if you want to buy your Beastie Boy tickets early. You can find out all the details there. And don't go to that stupid Lisa thing.
Why are you bad, America?
Yes, let her out.
As long as you're not going to talk.
No point. She doesn't learn anything. I don't know why we bother putting her down there. She just gets more snippety.
I could find the door.
Can we get her out,
please? I can't find the door. I'm looking for it.
I think Bean's got the keys.
I'm looking for the door.
You're down there for a week. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Race to Witch Mountain. That mountain.
Oh, goddamn.
See, you are not doing that again.
Which mountain?
I will punch you right in the head.
Mountain.
You think I won't? Ask Mike.
Werewolf.
Punch you right in the head.
Werewolf, their castle. Race to Witch Mountain made $25 million this weekend, number one at the box office. Then Watchmen with $18 million. Last House on the Left in its debut made $14.7 million. Good enough to make it number 3. Taken was number 4. Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail came in at number 5. Slumdog Millionaire was 6. Paul Blart Mall Cop was 7. He's Just Not That Into You was 8, Coraline was 9, and Miss March coming in at 10 this weekend. Top 10 at the box office.
Did you see the picture of, what's the girl's name from Slumdog?
Frida Pinto?
Frida Pinto in the India Maxim on the cover.
India has a Maxim?
Yes, they do.
I did not know that.
And she's on the cover, and she is spectacular.
Rumors this weekend she's in talks to play the next Bond girl, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah, which I think would be an excellent choice because she has that sort of exotic look to her.
The picture's up at Kevin and Bean, KRock.com is our picture of the day.
She's smoking.
She's something.
Hot.
Yeah. Be helpful if my.
America's Next Top Model audition over the weekend in New York City where a riot broke out.
Yep.
A riot?
A riot. The audition line for America's Next Top Model erupted in chaos in New York City, leaving 6 people injured and 3 arrested.
Oh, my God.
The police didn't know what happened that prompted the chaos involving hundreds of people outside the Park Central Hotel in New York. But panic hit the streets outside the hotel. And apparently it was littered with shoes and clothing, according to reports.
Nice.
Sounds like some models blew up.
Chick fight.
It was pretty scary. 2 women and a man were arrested on disorderly conduct charges. Authorities had to shut down the audition, saying it wasn't properly organized. No word yet on really what caused the riot, but I think it's Tyra Banks.
Crazy women.
I'm saying forever. Tyra Banks is no goddamn good.
That's true.
And she is a danger to herself and others and needs to be put in a camp someplace.
I saw the riot footage on TV, but there was no volume. I was like, why is there a riot in New York?
Because
I didn't know
America's
it was because
next
of this.
Time out because Tyra is bad, and everywhere she goes, evil follows.
That's correct.
And she needs to be buried in the soil of her homeland or whatever with a stake driven through her heart so that she can just stop it.
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
You're a horrible woman. And you cause chaos wherever you go.
That's correct.
That's what I'm saying. George Clooney and Julianna Margulies returned to ER last week. Did you see that episode?
I did not know.
With Clooney back?
I haven't watched ER in 5 years.
I haven't watched it either, but he was back.
Yeah.
I was there.
You're in love with him, aren't you?
He looks so good.
Yeah. What about Julianna Margulies?
Whatever. All right. Ratings were huge. People wanted to tune in to see George as much as I did. They gave the show. Gave the show its best ratings in 2 years.
Wow.
Just that one particular episode. 10.7 million people tuned in to see George Clooney return.
What did he do?
He saved some lives.
Just stepped in to save some lives and then walked back out?
No, it was a complicated story. Right. But it's about organ transplants.
Yes.
And so there was a patient in Seattle that had organs that they needed at the ER.
Right.
So one of the doctors goes to Seattle to get the organs harvested. And at the hospital there in Seattle, George Clooney is working, now married to Julianna Margulies. They're working together in Seattle.
Okay.
Oh, I gotcha.
So that was sort of like a guest appearance. But he was saving lives.
Doesn't sound very good, but okay.
Looking dreamy. Wes Craven, the man who gave us Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. You'd think he'd be looking forward to the remake. You know, they're doing a new Nightmare on Elm Street. They're bringing it back.
Right.
A reboot of the series, Secret Freaks, featuring Freddy Krueger. But he's not happy.
Why?
Here's the thing. When he originally made the movie in 1984, he was so broke that he sold all his rights to the film.
Oh no.
So he has no say in the remake of his classic creation, nor does he get anything out of it.
Oh, that sucks.
That blows. He says he's very upset about the remake. He's decided to boycott the movie. Well, there's $14 they're not going to get. I'll tell you that much. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm not going to go to your stupid movie.
That's not really painful, but...
Yeah. I don't know if anyone else... Here's the thing. Jason... Put on a get a big dude, put a hockey mask on him, give him a machete. Boom, you got your Jason.
Right.
But Freddy Krueger, so much of Freddy Krueger was Robert Englund, the actor who played him.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you'll be able to recreate that magic. Should be interesting. We'll have to wait and see. And more movie news. New Line Cinema has announced the latest and greatest in a motion picture based on a popular long-running TV series. MacGyver is going to hit the big screen. MacGyver. Hollywood Reporter says they are going to make hopefully a series of films based on the original TV series, which ran from 1985 to 1992.
I don't remember anything about that except for he could make stuff out of stuff.
That's all anyone remembers.
Okay. Exactly.
I didn't even forget what organization he worked for.
Yeah, what did he do? I didn't even...
Yeah, it was one of these... Remember in the 80s, they had a lot of these shows where they had like these independent crime-fighting organizations, like Michael Knight worked for the Knight Foundation or whatever.
Right.
People just create... companies that their job was to fight crime. I think he worked for one of those.
Gaywad.
I'm going to get a lot of emails now, I'm sure.
Yes, you are. Ralph at krock.com.
No,
if you have that information,
I don't need to know.
He's
it's
very
not that
desperate
important. It's just
out.
Not that important. New Line's chief of production says, I think we're just a stick of chewing gum, a paperclip, and an A-list writer away from a global franchise.
See
what he did? Because that's what MacGyver used to do.
Worked it right into the press release. How did he do it?
That is sweet. Today's celebrity birthdays, Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock is 40 years old today. Lauren Graham is 42 years old today. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of complaints that we didn't have a bell working for Lauren Graham.
Apologize.
Today.
She deserves it, you're
please,
right.
Please accept our apologies. Flava Flav is 50 years old. Eric Estrada turned 60.
Yeah, Eric.
Actor Victor Garber is 60 as well. K. Game show host Chuck Woolery is 68 years old today. That is 34 times 2 and 2. And comedian Jerry Lewis turns 83 years old today.
Happy birthday, Jerry Lewis! You have giant head disorder.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Josh Fries has joined us in the studio.
Woo! Yeah.
Josh has been here a couple times in the past. He's he was playing drums with Sting when he came in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Three, four years ago?
No. Almost 4 years ago. That would have been maybe, actually exactly 4 years ago. I think it was March 2005.
You were playing drums with Nine Inch Nails when we did our breakfast with them.
Right. That was probably about a year and a half ago or so.
You toured with them for three years?
3 years. Yeah. Three solid years. A little bit of time off, but loved doing it, you know, and kind of had to bow out at the end of 2008 because I was having my third child. And I've just toured so much.
I love that your press release about that, you said that you've had a great time, but you got to teach your kid to drive. I mean, to ride a bike.
Ride a bike.
And nothing's more important than that, except for maybe a night of coke with hookers. I like that.
Well, you know, I'd have put a little comic relief at the end of getting all heavy, you know, but it's true. You know what I mean? And I'll continue to tour, and I'm going to Austin this week with Devo to go play South by Southwest.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it wasn't that I had to retire from touring, but the rate that I've toured for the last 3 years and the fact that last year we were gone roughly from July to December and then just taking a month off and leaving again right after the first, like at the end of January, and being gone on and off throughout the summer this year, I just couldn't commit to that much touring, you know, and I already miss it, you know, and I really loved working with Trent.
I was going to ask if you got along well with him. He's
great.
He seems cool if he likes you.
Yeah. He's awesome.
And maybe not if you don't, if he doesn't.
I knew him from afar because A Perfect Circle toured with Nine Inch Nails back in 2000. Trent gave us our first real tour. We toured with them for 10 weeks in the States. And was friends with some of the guys in the band, but not till I started working with him at the end of 05 did I really get to see, I mean, working, you know, so closely with him and get to see what a hard worker and what a talented guy he really is, you know.
Very He's amazing.
Very impressive. Yeah.
So the bands that you've been in, the Vandals.
Sure.
Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
Not a lot. I mean, you've played on hundreds of CDs.
Yeah, hundreds of records, but I mean, I'll only go on tour and spend time with the artists that mean a little something to me or something that I'm involved with. Like, I've been involved with the Vandals since I was 17. You know, I've been pretty involved with Devo on and off as far as they're becoming a little bit more active right now.
Are they?
But there'd be years go by that they wouldn't do a whole lot, you know? But, I mean, they're one of my favorite bands since I was a kid, you know? Getting a tour with Trent, Perfect Circle was more my own situation with Maynard and with Billy Howerdell. Sting was a great opportunity that wasn't, you know, very long as far as time constraints.
Is that harder drumming? The Sting thing? It seems like it's a little more like jazz than
it's a little more sophisticated. Yeah, you know, but lucky for me, he was going out, when I toured with him in 05, he was going out with his quote-unquote like stripped down, rugged, back to basics rock and roll kind of thing. So I wasn't required to play a bunch of the jazzier stuff. He wanted to let his hair down a little, you know? So.
But you have played on CDs, including the South Park Chef 8 album.
Well, that's a funny one to throw out, yeah.
Stacey Q. Suicidal Tendencies. Mike Ness. Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
You played for some on a CD called Notorious One Man Orgy. Not sure who that is.
That's actually
that's
me.
You, I know.
That's,
I'm just kidding. Rob Zombie.
Yeah, I
played Avril Lavigne, OK Go. Kelly Clarkson. Clay Aiken.
Oh, God.
Ween. Come on. You've been on.
Well, the cool thing
how
is,
how many CDs have you been on? Do you know?
I don't know. I do know that my girlfriend and I tried to count one. We read like on Wikipedia or one of those things that online that showed a big long list, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after it, I went, wow, they're missing this record, they're missing that record, they're missing these three Japanese records and this other record and that band from Europe and those other records that I'm not. There's a lot of records, like I was telling you before we went on the air, that I'm not credited.
You're not
or my
listed.
Name's off of it either because they had a drummer in the band they wanted to protect. Or
really, that happens where they would need a better drummer for the CD.
Yeah.
So they bring you in.
All the time.
And then you don't put your name on it, and then when they tour, they go out with their guy?
All the time.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, after I looked at this long, long list, we started counting records that weren't listed, or you know, and came up with around 90 more albums.
Wow.
It wasn't like, oh, they missed 7 or 8 or 10. It was like, it was up to about 90.
Wow.
And then at the end of the day, I would be going to sleep and going, oh, and this record, and that record, and these other three records.
You need to come up with an exhaustive list. I don't know if it's possible.
But the thing is, you know, some of those records, I didn't play on the whole album.
Right.
Meaning some of those records might be, I appeared on this album and I played on two tracks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How many did you play on the Hannah Montana album, for example?
Maybe four or five, but, you know, I got to tell you a funny story, if I may.
Yes, please.
Please.
So I get hired for things like that all the time, right? It's kind of like what I call the punching in the clock, pay the bills kind of stuff.
Right.
And it allows me to not have to go get a real job and be able to do things like finance my own record and go out and work with smaller, you know, go do other stuff with the Vandals and not have to worry about, you know, making a living so much.
You've been a session drummer for how long?
Since I was 17 or 18, kind of by default. But anyways, that Miley Cyrus record, I will unapologetically and unironically say that I really like a lot of it.
Really?
Well, you know what? She really has nothing to do with it. It's like it's got some of the...
Write the songs, right?
No, they've got a bunch of great songwriters that are writing the songs, and the lyrics are all aimed towards 10-year-old girls, so they're goofy and poppy and silly, but they hire a bunch of great musicians to play on them, and it's funny because all the Miley Cyrus Radiohead talk that's been going on lately, and even on the way up here, I was driving up here, and I'm thinking to myself, I like the Miley Cyrus record a lot more than most Radiohead records that I've ever heard.
That's funny.
That's rare.
But it was backstage at the Grammys. I guess she tried to go back and meet him. And,
you know, and I don't care about, you know, I've never met her and I've never met the guys in Radiohead. And I
never met her.
What's that?
You've never met her?
No, never met her.
So you just go in and lay down the tracks
just go
and
in and
take off?
Yeah.
Is that how it is with most?
Make sure the check clears and never look back.
Is that how it is with most session?
It depends on the thing, but a lot of some of the, I mean, these days, sometimes going and making a record, you know, and you play on it, it could be, they could have everything finished on a Pro Tools rig on the computer, and then a producer will bring me in and I'll kind of sit down and play three or four or five tracks in an evening, and sometimes I never meet the band or meet the artist. And then other times you're there with the band and you're recording everything from the ground up and you're playing like you're a band, and it's every different situation that you can imagine, probably. You know?
You played at Disneyland when you started.
Yes, when I was 12. I joined the Musicians Union in 1985, and I played out there for 3 years.
They used to have a little band. Yeah, there was a little band that would like come up from underneath the ground.
Yeah, and they still have bands that play out but it's in Tomorrowland Terrace. In Tomorrowland, right near Space Mountain, all that stuff. And my father conducted the Disneyland band for years when I was a child, and then he started hiring entertainment out there. And he hired this band. They were like the Junior Star Search champions in 84, 85. And I started hanging out with these guys because we were all around the same age, and I could relate to them better than the other sixth graders at my school about music and production. And, you know, and I started playing with them, and I can kind of like technically say that's when I started playing professionally, because I was 12 and I had to join the union and I had to start paying taxes.
Wow.
And it was a lot of fun. I look back on that because I you know, it was goofy and silly, but I was so young it didn't matter. It was really a lot of fun.
But you're like, 12.
I couldn't
What other 12
when I was 12
there?
I was throwing rocks at my neighbor Robbie Doyle.
There you go.
And I was doing that when I was 13 as well.
18.
It's funny because that's where actually the guys in the Vandals indirectly kind of found me.
Disneyland.
Well, I met Warren Fitzgerald, the guitarist in the Vandals, through a producer friend in Orange County when I was about 16. And Warren said, oh, the Vandals are looking for a drummer. And then he was telling Dave Quackenbush and Joe Escalante, he was saying, yeah, I met this guy, Josh Fries, and he's younger than all of us. He's 16 or 17. He's from Orange County. And he used to play at Disneyland. And Dave and Joe went, did he play in that band with the kids on the stage? You go, we used to go see that band all the time.
Oh, my God.
They're freaking out.
And that was just covers, right? They were just playing covers of popular songs.
Well, they let us play a couple original numbers.
I always hated that.
But, yeah.
I did. I always hated that. I was like, I don't know this song.
Why? Here's a new one. Everyone runs for the hot dog line or the bathroom, right? And it's still the same. It's, you know, it's funny. It's kind of the same when you're in a big band, too. You go see a band, they go, here's a new one. Everyone darts.
I need a beer.
But yeah, we would go out there and whatever was popular in 85, which was Huey Lewis in the News and The Simple Minds and Tears for Fears. And the coolest we got is we got to play a couple of some Prince things and The Police and The Ramones. But other than that, it was The Blow Monkeys and ABC.
Blow Monkeys.
Pet Shop Boys. You know,
I haven't heard that name in 10 years. That's awesome.
That's the best. They had one hit, you know.
Josh has a new CD coming out next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow.
Tuesday the 24th. It's called Since 1972, which I guess is a reference to your birthday.
Yes, exactly.
And you have some weird stuff for sale. We started talking about Josh, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Started talking about the things that he has for sale. One of them is a tour of Disneyland.
Yes.
Which makes perfect sense.
A personal tour of Disneyland.
Yes.
You'll go out to lunch with people. You'll play in their band.
Yeah.
You'll do shrooms. It's a strange list. I got to be honest.
Bored? Is that what's going on?
No, not at all. I just... You know, it all started with wanting to do something creative and do something different. And obviously people are having to be extra creative and you know, these days with the way that they're releasing music, and you know, you try and figure out how can I do something that you can't download or take
right.
for free.
Yeah.
But to be honest, too, a lot of this was this record I'm putting out on my own, and I've paid for it myself, and I don't have a label backing me, and I'm not going to go jump in a van and put a band together and go try and sing in front of a band for half-filled clubs around the country while
right.
I've got a career and kids that I'd be missing out on back at home. So I was like, how can I do this and get a little bit of attention? So it's like, you know, I did this thing to just get people talking about it, because obviously with a few other acts, you know, like Trent had done something like this, but on a very serious note. And,
mm-hmm.
And
you'll call people back for buying the album if they pay 50
yeah.
bucks, was it?
I think it's the $50 package.
And you'll
yeah.
give them 5 minutes with you on
yeah.
the phone.
Yeah.
That's
so
what, cool.
You know, it's funny. My girlfriend and I are scared for different reasons about it. I've been saying, you know, I go, God, I'm scared no one's going to purchase any of these things. And she's going, I'm scared you're going to have to go to P.F. Chang's 30 times in a row and have people come over and take items of clothes out of our closet. But, you know, I don't expect people to buy a lot of these things, the more expensive ones. But it was kind of a fun thing to do. And
I want to go to Tijuana with you and see how it's done.
Okay. Well, I'm ready to make good on these things, too. You know, a lot of people have said, God, is this real or is he joking? And it's like, it's funny and it's silly, but I'm completely ready to make good on it.
You're going to follow it up.
And that'd be half the fun, if not all the fun. I want to be able to film this stuff, edit together, post it on YouTube. I want people to walk away and go, God, I did that thing. And yeah, I came over and it was kind of weird. We went to lunch and he gave me a foot massage. And then... And,
that's part of it too. Yeah.
That's a story.
I got a station wagon, or you know, whatever.
He's giving away a station wagon. We'll go through a list of things. We need to take a break, but Josh Fries is in the studio. A week from tomorrow, Since 1972 comes out, and we will be right. We have Josh Fries in the studio with us, who of course has played with Nine Inch Nails most recently.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I had the wrong microphone on. There we go. And everyone else since 1990, basically, he's been on every CD since. And he's got a new CD coming out a week from tomorrow called Since 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to his website, joshfries.com, and you can buy a digital download for $7.
Well, that's a deal.
Or you can get the CD DVD double disc set for $15. And then it starts getting wacky. You can spend $50 and you'll get a thank you call from Josh. And you'll get 5 minutes. You can ask him whatever you'd like.
If you're a big fan, that's well worth it.
What's Maynard's deal from Tool? What's going on with that dude? For example.
Oh, what's going on with him? Well, yeah.
You could ask him that. For $250, you'll get a signed drum head and drum stick. And you can go to lunch with Josh at P.F. Chang's or the Cheesecake Factory.
Two of the finest establishments in the... You know, I purposely picked those places, too, because it's like... It's kind of like guilty pleasure. Like, I like going to the mall and eating there, even though it's totally uncool to say, let's, you know,
yeah,
the Cheesecake Factory.
It's
like, you think I'd pick some hip eatery, like in Venice or West Hollywood or Silver Lake or some.
But
cool
that's
place.
For $250. Yeah. I like that for $500, you can meet Josh in Venice, go floating together in a sensory deprivation tank, and then go to Sizzler.
Yeah.
He saves Sizzler for the $500.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And then for $1,000, you can get drunk and cut each other's hair in the parking lot of the Long Beach Courthouse.
Yep.
Now, how do you come up with that idea exactly?
Well, that one was one of the most random ones. Like the other things, I was going, okay, the tours of Disneyland and the drum lessons and going to P.F. Chang's. I go, these are all silly, stupid things that I do anyways.
Right.
Right. But I was going, okay, let's pick up, you know, I tried to come up with a couple of just random ones, and that was one of the most random ones that I did, you know. The other ones all kind of have something to do with who I am and what I do, like the Queen Mary, like some of them say, one of them is like, go have dinner with the Queen Mary, or a more expensive package, you spend the night at the Queen Mary, the big boat down
separate
the Long
rooms,
Beach.
I know, I saw you put there very carefully.
Yeah, but, you know, I do all those things. I go to the Queen Mary all the time, you know, so it's not like, oh, that's a weird one. It's like, no, I go to the Queen Mary all the time, and I live down the street from it. But anyways, yeah, cutting each other's hair in the Long Beach Courthouse, that was one that made me, you know, I had a lot of fun coming up. I didn't tell a whole lot of people about this stuff when I was coming up with it because I didn't want friends of mine to steal it because I knew I was still months away.
Right.
And people are kind of, like I said earlier, trying to get extra creative and different with the way they're releasing records.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Dan here is one of the only guys that knew about it because I was on the phone with him when we kind of came up with it, you know, because he was looking back at my record I put out in 2000.
Right.
And here we are 8-9 years later, and he was on the phone, and he says, you want to see how many records your record sold last week? You know, the one that I put out almost 10 years. I go, how many? He goes, one. I said, okay. He was looking at SoundScan, and he goes, and the week before that, two. And the week before that, one. And I went, okay, knock it off. I get it. And that's why I said, maybe I should call these people and personally thank them. He's like, yeah, that'd be great.
That's a good idea.
And then we're like, wait, what if I, like, showed up and, like, did their laundry or gave them a drum? And there was all of a sudden, this is right around the time, too, that trying to put out that great Ghost package.
Right.
And I know Radiohead and U2 did stuff, but I don't even know what they did. But I always see their name mentioned in the same sentence as far as these packages. But,
right.
Yeah, those things are all realistic, kind of like, you know, they're for real. And Trent's thing was great. My thing is obviously a lot wackier.
You can pick one member of the Vandals or Devo to accompany you and Josh to either the Hollywood Wax Museum or lunch buffet at the Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah. I like that. I like the lunch buffet, too. It's not like, yeah, we'll go to a strip club and party. It's more like, no, we'll go to the strip club at noon and have the food there.
I got to be honest. I don't eat the food at strip clubs.
Well,
that doesn't sound
good
to me.
Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do, apparently.
I have before.
Let's see. You'll write a song about people?
Sure.
You'll write a five-song EP?
Five-song EP about, the person, like, you know, I'd probably hang out with them and either talk to them on the phone or hang out in person and kind of interview them a little bit. And then, you know, see, a lot of this stuff, too, is just an exercise in fun, wacky creativity. You know, it's like I would love to do that. I would love for my job for a while to be not playing drums with everyone under the sun this month, but going and filming these wacky excursions or sitting down and writing a record about you, and not just writing it and giving you a CD at the end of it, writing it and sticking it up on iTunes and
so it's downloadable.
Amazon. You can buy the record and forever there'll be a record about you.
Are you going to do one of your crazy videos about them too?
Probably.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen Josh's videos on YouTube. They're a little nutty.
They're kind of nutty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned how to do iMovie on tour a couple years ago just out of sheer boredom in Europe. And I just kind of really... The fact that all that stuff's so immediate, you can sit there and do it on your laptop and post it right then and have the world know about it or not. It's been fun, you know, and that's been a huge kind of outlet for me. And once again, people see my videos and they go, man, you got a lot of time on your hands. But it's like, as far as I'm concerned, this is an important thing that I do. And this is part of makes me who I am. And usually the guy saying I've got time on my hands is the guy that just spent the afternoon walking around the mall and going to the movies on the day off. I'm like, no, man, you've got time on your hands. I need to do this. This is important.
You could go miniature golfing with Josh and Maynard.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Go miniature golfing with the two guys.
Sure.
That's a little strange, right?
Kind of.
And for $75,000, this is the top one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
75 grand. You get a signed CD DVD. You get a t-shirt. You go on tour with Josh for a few days. You have Josh Wright record and release the five-song EP about you. You take home any of his drum sets. You take shrooms and cruise Hollywood in Danny from Tool's Lamborghini. Or play quarters and then hop on a Ouija board for a while.
Not literally, but I mean...
Play.
Not jump up and down on it. I mean, we'll go play
Do
together.
It. Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Josh will play in your band for a month. If you don't have a band, he'll be your personal assistant for a month. He'll also take a limo to Tijuana and he'll show you, quote, how it's done. Which is what? Cutting people's heads off in a drug war?
I'm not even sure what that means yet. I think we'll figure it out on the way down there on the 5 freeway.
You can also take a flying trapeze lesson with Josh and Ruben from Nine Inch Nails. Have you ever done that?
Robin. I like Ruben from Nine Inch Nails. That's the new percussionist.
What? Have you ever done that?
No, I've never done that. But, you know...
Sounds fun.
Robin's an interesting enough guy that... When I was trying to come up with something at the very end, most of these things I came up with on my own, but I said, Robbins, what's something that we could do in L.A. that's like not just going to Disneyland or doing the dumb tourist obvious stuff?
And he said, first of all, call me Ruben.
First of all, it's Ruben. he knows a bunch of bizarre circus folk. He used to play like in the Cirque du Soleil band.
Oh,
that's
really?
Where he met his wife. So he goes, I know some people that give these flying trapeze lessons out in the San Fernando Valley. I'm like, really? I'm like, hey, that sounds pretty good. I don't even know that exists in
Los
Angeles. Yeah,
that's really weird.
You know?
Bizarre Circus Folk, by the way, is a good band name.
Bizarre Circus Folk.
That's good. I like that. Well, this stuff is not available right now, but it will be available a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, March 24th.
And there are some limitations. So if 10 of you want to spend the $75,000, you only get only one person can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, how many of these do you think are going to sell? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Will Maynard really go miniature golfing?
Oh,
with
yeah.
You?
No, like I was saying on the break, he's been calling me saying, do we have any takers yet on that miniature golf game?
I'm dying.
And he
to
might
go.
Take it personally if no one buys
Somebody
it.
Somebody better buy that one.
Yeah, he's going to get bombed. So. Yeah, that'd be good. I think me and Maynard and Mark Mothersbaugh would be fun to take him.
That would
golfing.
Be a strange day, I got to tell you. But for the $50, I mean, you'll probably get a bunch of those.
I imagine.
You possibly. Get the CD, DVD, you get a thank you call. You get to talk to Josh for 5 minutes.
And like I said, I'm ready and willing to do all these things. But if it means people just come to my website and buy my record for $7, then that's cool.
Sure.
Because that's what it's really about
but
for me
you
in the end,
really want to do the the food thing.
It would be fun to do a few of those things. I think, yeah, maybe after 20 visits to P.F. Chang's, I'd be ready to slit my wrists. But I think that just having the people walk away from it and go, God, you know,
that
I
was
showed
weird.
Up. And, that was weird. We did it. And that excites me. I like that in a performance art kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this has nothing to do, you know, these things I'm selling with drums or being a musician, but just having everything to do with, you know, being creative
and wacky, and putting stuff up on YouTube.
Yeah,
when you're done, you're going to do a lot of that, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
It's a good idea. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Josh. We appreciate it. It was great to have you.
Of course.
Since 1972 is the name of the CD. It comes out a week from tomorrow, and that's also when you can start bidding on this stuff.
Yeah.
And we gave details a little bit earlier this morning for K-Rock's World Tour, destination number 6, which is Nine Inch Nails in Tel Aviv, which you would have been on, but not anymore.
Oh, wait, a show that's coming up in Tel Aviv?
Yes, a show that's coming up in Tel Aviv.
We played, and I played with Nails in Tel Aviv, like in the fall of 07, and it was really, really cool. We went all over the world in 07, and that might have been the coolest experience,
really?
the Tel Aviv show. Yeah.
Why?
It's got to be hard to rank
those
kind of moments.
Well, we've been to Europe, you know, a million times, and I've been to Europe and Japan and places like that, you know, a handful of times, a bunch of times before even playing with Nine Inch Nails. And so when you hear, oh, we're going to France again, or we're going to England again, or we're going to Tokyo, it's like, oh, great, okay, there's a place I've been to 30 times, and we'll go another 30 times, you know? But the Tel Aviv thing was like, oh, wow. So we got over there, and, you know, the day before, we went and took a big, long tour of Jerusalem, and it was pretty heavy being over there, and just so different than any other place that I think any of us had been before.
Yeah.
And there was an element of a little bit of danger in the air, which made things a little exciting.
Sure.
But then also, it's like when we looked out the window of the plane we were landing, it looked like something you only see like on CNN. You're like, oh, wow. It's just kind of was barren and lots of sand. You know, we're going, oh, my God, yeah, we're in Israel. But then the hotel we stayed at, I realized it's right on the water. You know, it's right on the water and beautiful palm trees, and the weather was nice, and the show we played was outdoors, and it was a great gig, and it was just the weather was nice when we were there.
That sounds cool.
It was kind of,
You think you'll work with him again?
Brent? I'd like to, yeah.
You just, I mean, who's got time or whatever?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I just needed a breath right now, you know what I mean? And he's got a guy that's playing drums with him that's great, and chances are he'll work with him for a long time, you know, and you know, I'm always up for working with Trent, you know, as far as it was a pleasure to do that for as long as I did.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks for coming in, Josh.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
The CD is out a week from tomorrow. Congratulations to Greg Page from Eagle Rock. Just got those tickets to see Nine Inch Nails and Jane's Addiction when they play May 20th, I want to say, at Irvine Meadows. Nope. That's not the name of it.
Go say it.
What's the name of it now? Verizon Wireless.
Ah, that's right.
And tickets for that go on sale Friday afternoon at 3. Your chance to win is coming up very soon. Let's say good morning to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
Very good. Let's start with the old business. Howard K. Stern charged in the Anna Nicole drug case. We talked to you about this on the afternoon show, but not on the morning show yet.
I mean, it's kind of stunning that they poured a lot of resources into this investigation. It's just kind of weird, but they had been looking at this for well over a year, and they were gunning for him. I mean, they did a raid, we know, about a little over a month ago at this doctor's office, and they were specifically looking how to tie Howard K. Stern in. So it was almost like they were on a mission. And I got to say, I mean, I'm just going to say it, but I'm old enough to remember Jerry Brown as governor here.
Right.
Yes.
And I didn't like him at all when he was governor. And then when he left the governorship and then he became mayor of Oakland, I started to like the guy again. I thought, wow, he's doing a great job. And when I saw him at this news conference on Friday, I thought, that's that guy I didn't like so much.
Yeah.
It just felt like he was posturing. And it's like, are you really trying to convince us that Anna Nicole was this important to you? I mean, you're going to run for governor again and you're just grandstanding? honestly, he was a douchebag.
Yeah. But it's good to see bad things happen to Howard K. Stern.
Well, look.
You know what I mean?
I just find it really weird that with all the problems this state has, that they spent this much money on this case.
Yeah.
It is really troublesome.
Harvey, good point.
Let me ask you, if these charges hold and Howard is brought to, you know, is prosecuted with these charges, would that change the circumstances of Anna Nicole's death?
Look, she died of a prescription overdose.
Right.
And, you know, could they argue that illegal prescriptions were the cause of the death. It was really the combination of prescriptions, and that takes it out of that league.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think so.
So it wouldn't be a conspiracy to commit murder
by fueling
her, you know, her addiction.
No, the only thing they could make it some kind of an argument on is involuntary manslaughter, but you have to somehow connect that it's not just that they gave her illegal drugs, but somehow the combination of drugs was in play here, and they're never going to prove that.
Is there any looking into her son still, or is that just a closed case?
I think that's going nowhere.
Okay. Let's talk about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on with her arrest warrant?
So here's the deal. So she was in this alcohol. This is what we know. She was in an alcohol education program as part of her probation. She was in it for a long time, over a year. And she complied with all the terms of her probation. Recently, for some reason, she switched programs. The program she's in now notified the court last week and said she's missed 3 of the last 21 days. We are told 2 of those were excused absences, so that leaves 1.
Okay.
And what we're told is that her lawyer, who is Sean Chapman Hawley, do you remember her?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
A very hot lawyer.
Okay, excellent.
Who was in the O.J. Simpson case.
No kidding.
She worked for Johnny Cochran.
Oh, okay.
So Sean Chapman Hawley, we understand, is going to argue that the reason she couldn't make that one class was because the paparazzi made it so difficult for her to leave that she was either late or just didn't show. So it's the paparazzi defense.
Oh, please.
Is this the first time that's ever been tried?
I've never heard it before.
The paparazzi defense?
I've never heard it before.
Wouldn't you just leave earlier?
Well, you know, it's an interesting defense.
Yeah, well, so was the Twinkie defense, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work.
It worked for Dan White.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's like saying, you know, traffic was so bad, I just couldn't get there. I mean, isn't it the onus upon her to do what she has to do to get there and comply?
Well, when did you guys become Thurgood Marshall?
We're lawyers.
Well, we show up for work.
We're lawyers, you know.
Yeah.
We're sticklers for the law.
We drink almost as much as Lindsay Lohan does when we get to work.
Right. You have to be able to follow through, you know. You don't have to be sober. You just have to follow through.
Well, who cares about the law? That's a great defense. Come on.
All right.
Well, weren't the cops...
Lighten up, guys.
Didn't the cops show up at her house, though, because she was having some brouhaha with her man friend, Samantha Ronson?
It was fight number 5,483.
Oh, that's such an ugly situation, isn't it?
Oh, and for some reason, they're in this relationship, and they're breaking windows, and it was just like crazy fighting.
That's not good.
And the neighbors called the cops? Is that what happened?
Well, no, actually, the paparazzi called the cops.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
I'm wondering about that, because they're the ones that are right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sleazy.
We don't feel safe.
Well, they wanted to see the cops there, but what's so funny is, gee, there's an arrest warrant out for you, so what do? You get in such a fight that the cops will come over to break up the fight, and then they arrest you.
Right.
So the cops knocked at the door, and they wouldn't open it. And so they left.
What?
So she wasn't arrested?
No. But there was something. So there was some problem with the warrant, and the cops weren't going to arrest her anyway, but she basically laid low. She's not showing up in court this morning unless the judge absolutely orders her.
Harvey, it's not answering the door is something I would do. It doesn't seem like that would work. They would just...
No, because they'd have to get a search warrant if you won't open the door.
But
they're not...
They're
not going to get a search warrant for that.
But if you're concerned about someone's safety, I mean, if windows are getting broken and stuff and someone calls, don't they have to see what's going on?
Well, you know, I think it probably calmed down by then.
Okay.
We need answers, Harvey.
I was just going to say, I'm not Jacoby and Myers. You're
a lawyer.
You're the guy who knows all the information.
I know, but I mean, I didn't know that I was coming on in that capacity.
Listen, you're always that guy.
Okay.
But sometimes you just forget the law when you're on the radio?
I didn't forget the law. They don't have to go in if two people are just fighting and there's no evidence that they're in imminent danger and they say, we're not opening the door, it means they're unified, so they're not going to break the door down.
I think they should have been tear gassed.
Right, it's like the SLA.
That's right.
And stun gunned, both.
Exactly. I'm sure Patty Hearst was in a closet someplace in there. It's like Waco all over again.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
Exactly.
That's code.
There's no closets in that house.
All right. We know you got to go. Harvey, anything else you want to talk about, or is that is the Lindsay the big thing right now?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Did you guys see what we've been doing on Jackie Mason?
Yeah. I saw some of it, yeah.
Awesome story.
Well, it's an interesting story. He gets on stage last week, and he calls Barack Obama a schwarzer.
Yeah.
So, in Yiddish, the literal translation is black, and there are a lot of older people who use that term, and they just mean black.
Right.
But a lot of people say it's a real racial epithet. So it's caused this real I mean, you know, Al Sharpton saying, you know, he's trashing Jackie, and Jackie saying Al Sharpton's a professional racist, and the whites are discriminated against, and Chris Rock can bash white people and get away with it. So it's caused this whole thing, and I don't know. I just find it really interesting, and he just went crazy with our camera when we got him yesterday. Crazy.
Yeah. I love that he's defending himself by saying he doesn't need to defend himself, by the way.
That's what he said. Well, he, you know, 70% of the people are on Jackie Mason's side on our website.
It's I'm glad. Well,
so many people look to me, and 30 people say to you, and they know what I'm doing, what I'm doing, and they say to you, I don't know what I'm doing, and Chris Rock makes so much money, I don't make anything. That's what I'm doing to you.
That's really good.
All right, Harvey, thank you. TMZ.com, of course, the website. The TV show is on Fox at 6:30, channel 11 and 11 o'clock. Harvey, you're the best. Thank you.
Bye. 1 in 30 homes in the U.S. gets hit by termites.
It sure do.
And get to them before they get to you with the Termex Ultimate Protection Guarantee. Call 1-800-TERMINEX for your no-obligation inspection. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. I hate when I get hits with termites.
This afternoon, Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde, we are going to tell you about a movie called I Married the Eiffel Tower.
No, I think you're thinking of So I Married an Axe Murderer. And it's a very different film.
It's this woman.
I am a woman, and this is a bridge.
Mm-hmm. Golden Gate Bridge.
And despite our vast differences,
right,
we are very much in love.
Yes. At least she doesn't have sex with a piece of the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
She does that.
What?
Yep.
But at least she doesn't have multiple lovers like the Berlin Wall.
She is also in love with the Berlin Wall.
At least she doesn't hump fences, right?
She does that as well.
What?
Lou the fence.
It's the greatest.
Lou, they named the fence. It's not a real fence either. It's just like a little...
It's a piece of fence.
Yeah.
So it's a couple slats, so to speak. It's the greatest movie ever.
It's crazy people. It's a documentary about people who are in love with things. And it's just...
There's another girl who makes love to a pipe organ named Paul.
They name him.
It's the greatest movie you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
If it wasn't so sad and true, it would be the funniest movie ever made.
Still funny.
But it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but funny.
But kind of sad.
But funny.
But kind of sad.
Right, but funny as well.
People are emailing me. Beastie Boys fans are asking me how they can get those tickets I talked about. Once again, it is HollywoodBowl.com. You can find more information about buying your tickets early for the Beastie Show. And BeastieBoys.com also has all the information. So there you go. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Today's celebrity birthdays. What? Now let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Race to Witch Mountain. That mountain.
Stop it. How do you commit to that one?
Witch Mountain? That mountain. See, there's a lot of confusion in that movie.
There's no confusion
at all. W-I-T-C-H.
Yes.
But it sounds like.
Mm-mm.
Race to Witch Mountain made $25 million in its debut weekend. Strong. Made it number one by far this weekend. Watchmen came in at number two with a little over $18 million. Then The Last House on the Left. Taken. Tyler Perry's Medea's Goes to Jail was number five. Slumdog Millionaire Paul Blart Mall Cop, He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, and Miss March, in its debut, made $2.4 million, making it number 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Slumdog Millionaire, you might want to go to krock.com and check out the Kevin and Bean's picture of the day. Frida Pinto is our pinup for the day, and she is...
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Woo! Woo! That's what I'm saying. Here's two guys you don't think about hanging out together. Bob Barker and Chuck Connors. Oh, excuse me, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors. Now that would be cool.
Is that the gunslinger dude? That is from the 50s?
Oh, my God.
It was the rifleman.
Yes, yeah.
Well done, Kevin.
How the hell
did I know that? I don't know.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Gerald LaVert?
I do not know.
I think there are moments of clarity that Kevin's head is like a fog bank. It's like there's just dark clouds. And then, you know, sometimes, once in a while, the clouds part and just one shaft of sunlight will come
but
down.
But I don't want that shaft of sunlight.
And then the clouds could cover up the sun again. But once in a while, just a little fact will peep through. How Kevin knew that Chuck Connors starred on The Rifleman in the 1950s is beyond me.
Loser! 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 Loser!
Chuck Norris. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Apparently, he is good friends with Bob Barker.
What?
Still the former host of The Price is Right.
The price is wrong, bitch.
And in Bob's new autobiography, Priceless Memories.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I did it.
Priceless Memories.
He talks about how Chuck taught him how to use karate. Karate, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
He taught Bob karate. And Bob said after one particular sparring session, he woke up feeling a little sore in his ribs, went to the doctor, and discovered that Chuck had cracked four of his ribs.
That's just not good.
Wow.
That's bad teaching.
Yeah, that
really
is. What are you beating up an old guy?
Lisa can't break a chocolate bar, and Chuck Norris is breaking ribs just fooling around with Bob Barker. Of course, Bob is 112 years old, yeah. So maybe his bones are a little more brittle than the average.
Not much of an accomplishment.
But I just think that's funny. Lindsay Lohan! We just talked to our buddy Harvey Levin about Lindsay's legal problems. Apparently, one of them has been settled. Do you remember the story about the woman who claimed Lindsay stole her mink coat from a club last year?
Oh, yeah.
A woman named Masha Markova. She's a model. She was at a nightclub, and she said that someone had stolen her $11,000 fur jacket from the nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes on the internet, and she sees pictures of Lindsay Lohan wearing her jacket out and about.
I remember that. Wait a minute.
She's got nerve.
So she gets a hold of her and sues and files a lawsuit and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, word is Lindsay has written a check to Masha to make the situation go away, but no one will reveal the details of the settlement. But here's the thing. Lindsay gave her the jacket back.
Oh, she did.
But that wasn't enough for this woman. She filed a lawsuit anyway.
Because Lindsay has money.
Well, she did have to hunt her down and get it back.
That's true. Yeah. And by the way, Lindsay never apologized or even said that she took it. It just mysteriously showed up in the mail, by the way.
No return?
Yeah. So apparently Lindsay is off the hook there. I don't know how much the settlement was for, but she gave her a nice check and everybody went away happy. And Annalyn McCord of Beverly Hills 90210 fame. Apparently, you can add her name to the list of dangerous celebrity drivers.
Is she the girl that's eating the banana in the picture?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Back to you.
She was driving around last week, and she rear-ended a Range Rover.
Yeah.
Is that code?
No. Oh. She actually hit a Range Rover in her Mini Cooper. That's a bad combo. It's a bad meeting.
You lose.
Yeah. Who's going to come out on the bad end of that relationship? She didn't get hurt in the crash, but her Mini was totaled.
Yeah.
Is that code?
No,
all right.
Her Mini Cooper was actually totaled.
Okay,
it was inoperable after the wreck. Now that is good.
That's right. Okay.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, no, I don't have time.
No,
for
you
email
don't.
Here, I do. I know people are clamoring.
Nope, no one's
clamoring.
Not a person, not one.
But I will get to more Eddie Money emails tomorrow.
Oh,
I
don't promise things that you can't follow.
I do promise. Today's celebrity birthdays: Judah Friedlander from 30 Rock is 40 years old today. Actress Lauren Graham from Gilmore Girls turns 42. Flava Flav is 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
He's the best.
50 years old. I heard he needs a big bowl of bran now just to get his clock moving in the morning.
Is that code?
Yes, that is code.
Okay.
Eric Estrada turns 60. Eric. Victor Garber is also 60. Chuck Woolery, game show host, is 68 years old. Comedian Jerry Lewis turns 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. Ralph, please tell me where you found this.
Today's more tarde than usual, by the way, thanks to Kevin's behind-the-scenes antics.
Please tell me where you found this documentary about the people who love inanimate objects.
This was sent to me from one of our listeners, God bless him, as we get most of our good things. It was sent to me via a link from one of our listeners who said, I've just watched this, you have to watch. It's the most amazing thing ever. And usually when someone sends me that, I'm like, oh, geez.
It's not, yeah.
But this is a documentary that I think was done in England on Channel 5 or 4 over there on the BBC, and it is all about what they call objectium sexuality.
So there's a name for this.
OS is the syndrome. And when people who are in love with inanimate objects, and I don't mean like, oh, that's an attractive thing. They are in love with inanimate objects.
It starts with a woman standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge.
A bridge.
Which is her lover.
So we're not talking about like a stuffed animal.
Nope.
We're talking about the Golden Gate Bridge.
I am a woman, and this is a bridge. And despite our vast differences, we are very much in love.
We are in love.
She can speak for the bridge.
She does speak for the bridge.
Oh, yeah. The objects communicate with their lovers telepathically, Lisa.
That's correct, yes.
Oh, my God.
And it's difficult for her to have a physical relationship with the Golden Gate Bridge.
I can imagine.
But she has a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And this is her deep desire.
I feel very, very blessed to have a piece of my sweet Golden Gate Bridge. And I just hope that when I make love with this piece of him...
You heard it. Yep.
...that he can sense and feel how much I really, really love him.
Yes.
Yeah. What? Oh, I don't even want to know what she does with that piece of
bridge. Yes, you do.
When this movie opens, you think this is a goof. Someone made a parody film about documentaries. Until you start watching it, you realize it's absolutely true.
She has other lovers besides the Golden Gate Bridge.
My show has many lovers. Her most famous ones these days are the Berlin Wall and the Eiffel Tower.
She loves both
She's
of them.
She's a slut. She likes her big, inanimate objects.
Inanimate object slut. She's banging the Berlin Wall and the Golden Gate Bridge, and she's married to the Eiffel Tower.
This all started when she fell in love with a bow, archery bow,
and arrow.
Okay.
And the dude that brought the bow, she dumped the dude and kept the bow, and then the resulting thing was her success in a strange field.
Her love for objects is behind her considerable athletic success. She's a world-class archer, thanks to her long-term relationship with a bow.
With a bow!
I love the way the woman says,
they're, with the bow. They were lovers, they worked together so well.
That's right, yes. Yes.
Although, you know how hard it can be to work with someone you're in a relationship with.
Freaking bows, man. They're tough.
They are.
They're really tough. So she's talking about the bow here, and she's named it Lance. And she starts this sentence with, Lance knows he's good-looking.
Okay.
Which is an odd thing to say about a bow.
Lance knows he's good looking. And initially, I was attracted to him because of his looks. We've had a pretty hot and heavy relationship for quite some time.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. You've had a hot...
The problem with Lance is he's just so tightly strung.
Oh! Hey!
I wish she was kidding, but she's not, unfortunately. The follow-up question is, do people know about your relationship?
Everyone knew that I was an archer and knew that I loved my bow, but they didn't realize I loved my bow.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right on.
You guys.
Good thing she didn't have a crush on her arrows. She could have hurt herself that way.
The name of this documentary, and you can get the link at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, is I Married the Eiffel Tower. That's the name of it. So this interviewer asks her, what do you mean by a physical relationship with the bow or the Eiffel Tower or the Berlin Wall or any of that?
Mm-hmm. Is it mechanically, is it similar to a woman having sex with a man?
I would say yes. I would say that the, orgasm, all that is involved, foreplay, afterplay, all of that.
Sure.
And I think the emotional aspect of it is probably similar.
I sure don't know because I've never had a relationship with a man.
They cuddle afterwards.
But I would guess it is.
So she's making love to the Eiffel Tower somehow.
Yes.
How does that work?
You should see part two of the movie, Lisa.
I haven't even got to part two
where
yet.
Where they catch her having sex with the Eiffel Tower.
I'm dying to know how that works.
At the end of the film.
This is where they get the name of the film from.
A year ago at a private ceremony, she married the Eiffel Tower. Since then, she's been losing interest in her archery career.
Oh, I imagine so.
Yeah.
Oh, the bow's been tossed aside by the Eiffel Tower.
Slut.
So, who married her, by the way?
No one. So
no, there's a dude there. If you look at the footage,
I know,
there's a guy holding a Bible who's doing some ceremony.
That dude is marrying her to the Eiffel Tower, though.
This
is absurd. This whole movement started in Sweden.
Sweden was the birthplace of objectum sexuality. Eirita coined the term when she married the Berlin Wall in the 70s. She changed her name to Frau Belena Mauer, Mrs. Wall.
Frau Berliner Mauer.
She married the Berlin Wall and changed her name to Mrs. Wall. Come on.
Now, once you marry the wall, can someone else love the wall?
Oh, yes.
But isn't that cheating?
In fact, the girl who married the Eiffel Tower is also in love with the Berlin Wall.
That's correct, yes.
And she goes to visit Mrs. Wall, and the three of them hang out together. You know, Mrs. Wall, the girlfriend,
so
and the wall.
So there's no competition. No.
It's a three-way. It's a very open, sexually progressive society.
Mrs. Wall wasn't always Mrs. Wall, though. There was a time when she was in love with something else.
Hey, Rita used to be in a loving relationship with a guillotine.
Whoa! Whoa! Because, you know, those guillotines are hot.
She was in love with a guillotine, one of those things that cuts off your head, and then they have little subtitles that goes, headaches gone.
Yep.
These people are crazy beyond words.
They're the best people ever.
They can't function. They don't have jobs, do they?
This is the downside of this documentary, which I found sad. Kevin thought it was still even funnier. Is as they go into the backgrounds of each of these women, most of them have some sort of serious defect.
Yeah,
really.
Like one girl was sexually abused as a child and went through a lot of foster homes, and one girl was in a developmentally disabled classroom as a child and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the women, the woman who marries the Eiffel Tower, by the way, has Asperger's.
That's correct. That happened.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sock monkey.
Amy is also in love with this little banister called Lou.
She's in love with a banister called Lou.
I loved a banister when I was growing up.
She rides the rail, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's part one. You can watch it at the Kevin and Bean page of KROQ.com. And tomorrow morning, we're going to do
part two.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's when the woman is found allegedly having sex with the Eiffel Tower.
No, it's not allegedly. They got it right. That happened on TV.
106.7 K-Rock? Nope. Oh. I don't think that deserves a hey.
Really?
That's White Lies. To Lose My Life is the name of that, and it's the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. You can call 24 hours a day and leave us a message on any topic, anything we talk about in the morning show, anything we talk about in the afternoon show. We were talking about proposals gone wrong last week, and that was because there was a woman who swallowed her engagement ring in a Frosty that a dude put it in at Wendy's.
Yeah.
And we were saying perhaps don't put the ring in food.
Bad idea.
That doesn't seem like that really ever works. But this guy had a special story that no one called up with on the morning show, so I thought you'd like to hear it this afternoon.
Hey, party people, I got a story about a proposal gone wrong. She said yes.
Strong. Strong.
It's quite a delivery.
Women, huh?
Here's a disturbing call for Lisa May, which is the mainly the kind we get.
Oh, man, I'm so tired. I just... 18 times, Lisa May. Thanks, Lisa. Bye.
Not hot.
Not hot, right?
18 times, though. Do you aspire that sort of behavior in most men?
Well, yeah, but...
Jeez. 18 times is a lot.
Come on. I don't have that kind of time.
I'm like a pack of M80s.
We play a lot of commercials on this radio station, and we've been playing one recently that seems to get a little bit of anger. It's the Ashley Madison one.
Yeah.
And that's where they guarantee you an affair.
So... I was listening to that commercial for Ashley Madison. The guy guarantees you an affair. You won't forget. An affair to remember. Man, you will remember when your wife finds out and she leaves your ass and you have to pay alimony and child support for all those kids. And I don't even think I'll let them be yours. That really sucks.
Yeah. You know how that dude can guarantee affairs. He will sleep with you.
He will.
No one else does. Never forget that.
Quite
either.
A guarantee.
Hello, Kevin and Dean, Lisa May, Echo Mike and Danny. Oh, it's so nice hearing you on Cinco de la Tarde. What does that mean?
It's the 5th of Tard. A lot of people don't realize that. That's why we named it
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh. Well, either way.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this one.
Flashback. The Snuggies are taking over the world, and they're doing a pub crawl. Snuggie pub crawl. These are the blankets that have arms.
Yes.
That Ralph's so excited
they're
about.
They're much more than just a blanket with arms, my friend.
They are going to do a pub crawl, and in response, Psycho Mike and Omar have developed the Poncho Patrol, and they apparently are going to take you down.
Well, they will be met with severe damage if they try that. That's all I'm
poncho,
promising.
Poncho Patrol. Smashing those snuggies to the ground. Don't with us, because we are brown.
That's what you got coming your way.
Now that I've heard their theme
song. That's the theme song.
I'm truly not worried.
Don't feel like you need to bring us into your boring lives.
I am bored. I'm sitting in the auditorium at my school, and I'm bored out of my mind. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to hang out with. And I'm really bored. So lame.
Wow.
Well,
the
initiative, I'm bored.
Kids today. You can put a flush of cherry bomb down the toilet or something.
Right. Blow something off the roof.
Wreak some havoc.
On. Get to play
the chickens loose in the hallways of your school.
This is K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, home of the new rock coming up next. The Foo Fighters, because we haven't heard them in the last 13 minutes. And after that, we're going to do, of course, Nirvana. All day, all night, Nirvana. 18 songs in a row of Kurt Cobain. And we're going to return that for the next 8 hours. After that, of course, the Foo Fighters again. And then followed up by another hour of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chili Peppers. Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then Nirvana. And then the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters. And then the Chili Peppers. Followed up again by Nirvana. Because we're K-Rock. Home of the new rock. Holy
Wow.
You, my friend, are welcome.
Got issues. Thank you for calling. Hey!
The Empire State Building is one of Amy's regular lovers. Yeah. Public displays of affection are often a problem.
Sure.
I think we're being watched.
You didn't hear that very well, but she says to the Empire State Building, I think we're being watched.
I think we're being watched.
God.
Security dude's like, hey, quit kissing the building. Move on. Move along, please. Stop making out with the Empire State Building, ma'am. And it was going great, and then they threw me out.
It's a documentary about people who love inanimate objects, and it's at Kevin and Bean page of KRock.com. It's
at
fantastic.
Least Amy is, oh, I don't know, 400 pounds.
Oh, really?
Shaves her head and wears nothing but tie-dye T-shirts.
That's correct. That is all true.
The tower may be all she can get.
No, she's the one who loves the Empire State Building.
Oh, okay.
I think we're being watched. Licking the walls. Just foul on every possible
She's got
level.
Her hands around the whole building, kind of.
What she's just doing now.
It's not good.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this Monday, shall we? Race to Witch Mountain. That mountain.
I'm going to punch you right in the head if you keep that up.
$25 million made it number one this weekend. Watchmen was number two. $18.1 million made it. So The Last House on the Left in its debut weekend was number three. Then Taken, Tyler Perry's Madea Goes to Jail, Slumdog Millionaire Paul Blart, Mall Cop, He's Just Not That Into You, Coraline, and Miss March in its debut made $2.4 million, making it number 10 on the box office top 10 this weekend.
And I'm just going to say, I'm guessing here because I didn't see it, but I'm guessing that they're lucky to get that.
Miss March? Yes, I think.
That's not a good movie.
That's beyond their wildest dreams for Miss March. Oh, the neighbors of Bob Dylan are not happy. Bob Dylan, of course, legendary poet, rock star. For decades now, he's been an icon of music.
Mainly 60s, right? 60s, early 70s?
Kinda? 60s and 70s when he made his bones, absolutely. But he's been a star for a long time. Influential artist to a lot of K-rock artists.
Sure.
Apparently, he lives in Malibu. And his neighbors have been complaining that he's got a porta-potty just parked on the property line that they share, and the stench coming off of the porta-potty is horrific.
Is he having work done in the house or something?
Nope.
He just has it there? He doesn't want to do that in the
house? It's a permanently parked, stinky, portable potty.
I don't want to do that in the house.
According to the neighbors.
That's a terrible thing to have.
Cindy and Dave Eminger is the name of the neighbors, and they wrote a letter to the local weekly newspaper complaining about Bob's stinky porta-potty. A toxic, hazardous, carcinogenic chemical toilet, they call it, and it has been plopped down next to our home.
Oh.
The toilet spews horrible chemical odors into our home, says the couple. This toilet is apparently intended by my neighbor Bob Dylan to be a permanent fixture on his property. So they're asking the city council of Malibu to do something about Bob's stinky porta potty.
Yeah.
You do not want to smell Bob Dylan.
You don't want to say that.
I'm wrong about that.
You don't want to say
that
on the radio.
You do, Ralph?
That's what I'm saying. No, I think you're right.
All right.
But you need to rephrase it.
Just saying.
Congratulations to Charlie Sheen and his wife, Brooke Mueller. They gave birth. Well, not they. She did most of the hard work, but I'm sure he was there. She gave birth to twin boys over the weekend, Max and Bob Sheen.
Huh. Max and Bob?
That's
Max Sheen, Bob Sheen.
Come on. Celebrities are supposed to get effed up names. Let's be honest.
Well, Max Sheen does sound like a car wax.
It does.
You know, it all works out. Bob Sheen.
I don't know what it sounds like, but it's funny.
Sounds like what your looks like after somebody...
You people?
Yep.
That's
what I'm saying. Bob Sheen. Is it Bob?
After you Bob,
it's all shiny.
Right. Get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Can't say it that way.
Just did.
Right.
Just said it.
Right,
it.
But can't.
You just did that.
Right.
And here's another reason why George Clooney is better than you are. New York Post says that George found out that his dad, Nick Clooney, longtime newsman. He even worked here in Southern California for a while.
Not that Nick.
Not that Nick.
It's a different Nick.
Nick and Nina, his folks, were having dinner with Walter Cronkite last week in New York City.
Okay.
So Clooney calls up the restaurant, makes sure that they get the best table, and picks up the tab for the entire meal.
That's nice.
He's a good son, that George.
Yeah. How about that?
Did you see him on...
Very well job done, baby.
See him on ER last week?
Did not know.
Oh, he looks so good.
You're in love with him.
He's a handsome
looks
man.
So good. A lot of people watched that episode of ER last Thursday night, the return of George Clooney and Juliana Margulies.
gave the show its best ratings in 2 years. 10.7 million people tuned in.
Wow.
They should get him on more often. That's what they should do. Stop canceling it and put more George on. That's all I got to say. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Okay. Let's look at them. There it is.
You have some Lauren sort of list normally.
Yeah, I know. It's getting lost today.
Okay.
This morning it was getting lost, and now this afternoon I can't find it. Lauren Graham is 42 years old today. Judah Friedlander is 40 years old. Flava Flav is 50. Eric Estrada turned 60. Victor Garber, also 60 years old today. Legendary game show host Chuck Woolery is 68. And comedian Jerry Lewis, one of our favorites.
Yeah.
He's old.
That's all I got to say about it. 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. And I walk the showbiz beat.